Injured in a car accident? We cap attorney's fees at 30% of the first million. Any recovery above that is all yours. No recovery, no fees or costs. If another lawyer wants more, Lawyer Up 904. For accidents, injuries, and more, Lawyer Up 904. Jacksonville.
Rise and shine! Cougars, go time on a Wednesday morning. I see out there 6 o'clockers. I see out there. All these other jokers think Thanksgiving starts today, apparently. We know the holidays tomorrow. I walked in today. I guess you guys did what? This potluck, you know, Thanksgiving Day contest yesterday, ET?
Yep.
All right, run through the winners for me. Do you know?
I lost the mac and cheese to
what?
Leon.
What now?
Yeah, I think that was intimidation.
Yeah, he came sauntering in. He's a big boy. You wouldn't fight him for it.
I would. Off the top of my head, I don't remember the other winners, but it's on Facebook and Twitter and all the social platforms.
Yeah. Was the food good? Did you chow down?
Oh, yeah, I buzzed down.
I walked in today. Now, you know where I'm at right now. Low carb, no sugar. It's absolute hell and torture. And I walked in today, and man, it smelled like I was walking into Grandma's kitchen.
No, that's my bad, because I had reheated some
Did
stuff
you?
Up.
Yeah.
It smelled like it, too.
Yeah, I know. And I walk in. What's staring at me as soon as I walk in? By the way, I walk in with my two boiled eggs and my kiwi this morning, put it in the fridge, and I got butter rolls staring at me and food in the fridge. No, tomorrow's the day that we absolutely blow this thing to smithereens. Today, I will survive, I think. All right, so ET, you're an NBA guy.
Talk to me.
So last night I'm flipping it around. It feels like Thursday to me yesterday, right? Because today is kind of a Friday. So in my mind, I'm like programmed to expect NFL to come on at about 8:15, right? So anyway, I'm bouncing around and I settle in right as the game starts on the Nets and the Sixers. And this isn't about the Sixers beating the Nets last night without James Harden and without Joel Embiid and without
Maxey,
right. This take is not about that. But I settle in. I watch the Nets really for the first time, I don't know, in a month. You know, with no Kyrie and them struggling for as long as they did, I haven't paid much attention. And we all know what the implications of Ben Simmons are, right? So I sit down and I put the game on. And I watch for about 10 minutes. And the first narrative that kind of jumps into my brain, you know what it was? Damn, Ben Simmons is balling.
That's exactly what I said.
He's balling. It looks like he's got a little bit of his confidence and his swagger back. Now, he's never been a super scorer and a great shooter, but
he was aggressive.
Had a couple or three steals, had a block or two, had, you know, a doubled like 11 points and 11 assists with 7 rebounds maybe, which, listen, those aren't the kind of numbers that carry a team, but you don't need to do that on the Nets. And then this take is going to be completely contrary to last night's result. This isn't about the Sixers beating the Nets last night. But watching the Nets last night, if that group stays healthy and together, we've counted them out way too early. They are fully capable of going Celtics on you here in the second half of the season and being the team that makes the run. And so I say this with a bit of a degenerate in me. The Nets right now are 17-1 to win the NBA championship. They're like the 10th betting team in line.
You degenerate.
It might not be a bad time to put a little future on the Nets and let that baby come to fruition here in about 6 months, right? If you or someone you know is going to Vegas, throw a little 100 on the Nets just for goofs. It'll last a whole lot longer than your trip to the blackjack table, I promise. Just throw it on there at 17-1. I'm just saying. Because if Simmons can play complimentary and more importantly, confidently, Kevin Durant is smooth silk. Kyrie, we know what he can do if he's focused, and by then he might be. Look, there's a lot of variables here. I'm not saying the Nets still can't get injured and tank and other problems crop up. But, I mean, you got Joe Harris back. You've got Seth Curry. You've got this Watanabe cat that could come off the bench. You've got one of the Morris brothers. It's a decent little 8 or 9 there to run later in the year. We'll see. Just what you guys wanted this morning when we started, right? An NBA take. Happy Thanksgiving. We got a lot of football to talk about. Obviously, the Ravens come to town this week more as we move towards that. But it's college football that on Wednesday mornings, this time of year, deserves first notice. And that's, well, I guess in this case, second notice. Thanks, Ben Simmons. And that's the most recent college football playoff rankings. And it was a bit surprising. Just a bit. LSU moves up to number 5. They keep USC at number 6 after their 48-45 win over UCLA. Tennessee, of course, got thumped by South Carolina. They're out of it. They go from 5 to 10. You know, people say, well, Tennessee beat LSU in Baton Rouge. That doesn't matter. It's how are you playing now? You can't use that now. You use that for sure if they're trying to argue a 2-win team into the playoff over you, a 1-loss team, and you beat them. Then you have an argument. But when you pick up the second loss and the way that you picked it up against a mediocre and based on the previous week in Gainesville, a bad South Carolina team, you are rightfully gone. He gone in Knoxville, and you should be. They're down to 10, so there's no argument there. LSU has beaten number 7 Alabama. They've beaten number 20 Ole Miss. And when they beat Alabama, that carried a lot of weight in the room. They've clinched the SEC West, and they faced Georgia in the SEC championship game. So now let's have some fun. The chaos I predicted is still bubbling. Man, there are a lot of outcomes that can still come out of this. You've got Georgia at 1, LSU at 5. LSU and Georgia should, knock on wood, they should cruise through season-ending, quote-unquote, rivalry-type games, LSU and Texas A&M and Georgia and Georgia Tech. There shouldn't be a problem there. There shouldn't have been a problem for Tennessee at South Carolina. So LSU at Texas A&M, maybe there's a puncher's chance there for something crazy to happen, but it won't happen between Georgia and Georgia Tech. That's a no way in hell are there. So let's just say that happens. Well, Ohio State, Michigan are going to meet this week. One of them's going to lose. Georgia, LSU are going to meet the next week. One of them's going to lose. They've got USC now positioned at 6. Look, USC still has to beat Notre Dame this weekend and Oregon in the Pac-12 championship game. That's far from a sure thing. Alabama at 7 with 2 losses is going to get done. Clemson has 1 loss, and they're still got to play in the ACC championship game. I mean, what do you do in a variety of situations and circumstances? TCU is at 4, man. They still got work to do. I believe it's Iowa State to close it out. They should be able to do that after back-to-back wins against Texas and Baylor, but Iowa State and then a Big 12 championship game. Look, TCU has lived on the edge. Had to run a field goal team on to win by a point last week. How far down do you go? I mean, can Clemson and Oregon and Tennessee, can they really make a legitimate argument? Are we not left with the potential? Ohio State beats Michigan, let's say, at home in a close game. TCU loses. USC loses. Does that mean next week it's Georgia 1, Ohio State 2, LSU 3, Michigan 4? Michigan with 1 loss and it being at Ohio State? And then, bear with me, LSU at 4 beats Georgia in the SEC championship game. Is it not possible that the final four could include Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, and Michigan? LSU beating Georgia is a tall task. It's possible. Are we going to play this whole year to get 2 SECs and 2 Big Tens? Now, look, if TCU wins out, that's not even a factor. If USC wins out now with 1 loss, they were going to get in because of what's in front of them and the simple fact that 2 of those 5 in front of in front of USC are going to lose. Do you allow them to lose and then still remain ahead of a 1 loss brand name USC big Pac-12 champion? Probably not. But what if USC loses? What if Clemson loses again? Oregon, it's still going to be very argumentative and chaotic without far-fetched scenarios now. I mean, those scenarios I painted you would be chalk. Chalk would be Georgia beating LSU. That would be the big wild card. And so if Georgia beats LSU, if USC loses again, does Alabama somehow with two losses end up at four? They might. If TCU loses, Alabama right now is seven. If TCU loses, LSU loses to Georgia, and USC loses a game, won't Alabama suddenly find themselves in the top four? I tell you what, if you beat Alabama, you're getting a lot of credit. Must be a pretty high opinion of them. So chaos as to somebody coming up from like the 15 hole when the first announcement came out may not be in play anymore. But chaos nonetheless is what we got coming here in the next couple of weeks. And if with just some chalky outcomes with some far from major upsets, we're going to have a really jumbled 3 through 12. Assuming Georgia and Ohio State went out, win their conference championships, that means Michigan would have lost to Ohio State, LSU would have lost to Georgia. Even if TCU wins out, if USC loses a game, it would seem that Alabama, or does Clemson jump Alabama if with one loss they win the ACC? There's just a lot of, there's going to be some hurt feelings, boy, this time around. There are going to be some hurt feelings when those final, and it is going to be a perfect time. The fire is going to be stoked just perfectly for the 12-team tournament that's coming. I've seen like some pushback criticism against a 12-teamer. What? Why? What possible reason? By the way, with a 12-teamer, FSU'd be in the mix. I think the Noles were 15 or 16. And because of all that, now they got three losses. They're, not as to this year's scenarios. There's nothing there. But if there was a 12-teamer, the Noles might still be alive. So it's a perfect time for a 12. I don't know why anyone would I don't know what the argument against it would be. By the way, if there were a 12-team bracket after last night's announcement, this is kind of funny because USC is not in the top four, but because they are right now the projected champions of their conference, they would be a top four seed. It would go Georgia, Ohio State, TCU, USC would be 1 through 4. LSU, Alabama, Tennessee, Clemson, Penn State, Michigan would all make the field. You'd have first round games that look like this. It would be number 12, Tulane at number 5, Michigan. It would be number 11, Penn State at number 6, LSU. It would be number 10, Tennessee at number 7, Alabama. And be number 9, Oregon at number 8, Clemson. How is that not awesome? And look, I don't want to scream at the one percenter. Maybe there's no more than that among the totality of college football fandom. But if you're a college football fan and you're not juiced about what's coming, what's now been agreed on, we've been screaming and hoping for something like this for a long time. How much fun is that going to be? I promise you, 5, 6, 7, or 8, one or more of those teams is losing those first round matchups. Well, I don't promise you, but I would think. And then, by the way, you'd go boom. Let's say chalk wins, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins. And we still now just got to move on to the Elite Eight. But you'd have Georgia and Clemson. You'd have Ohio State and Alabama, TCU, LSU, and USC, Michigan. Man, juicy. Michigan with one loss at Ohio State, if it's a close one this weekend, there's something to be said for the not just the outcomes, but for, margin of victory and otherwise in some of these last games of the year. Some teams will have two. They'll have conference championship games. Others finish their seasons this Saturday. So, interesting manifestations to the end of this college football season set up by the most recent rankings of the college football playoff four last night. All right, Billy Napier and Mike Norvell both meeting the media, talking about this Friday night's matchup. When we come back on the other side, we will delve into that, let you hear from those guys. We'll get into the Jags, more of their matchup coming up this week against the Baltimore Ravens. What a good opponent comes to town. What a marquee game It is. We have breakfast with Pacelli, and I know some of you 6 o'clockers are probably hard on the job site by then. That's in the 8 o'clock hour. But the big fellow weighed in on his expectations for these last 7 games. And could we have company for Tony Pacelli with the Jags logo in the Hall of Fame? We're one step closer. That story when we come back on the other side. You're listening to The Drill. It's Custom Tree Surgeons Wednesday. You've made it, hopefully, through the last couple storms we've had. I know if you had any damage tree-related and you called Custom Tree Surgeons, you're one satisfied customer this morning. That I know from the dealings I've had with them to the multiple people that have chimed in feedback here just generically to the station, to people that I know personally that have used them. It's Custom Tree Surgeons and CustomTreeSurgeons.com. All right, you guys ready for some good news this holiday season? Kind of fashion myself now a Hall of Fame historian after our 15-year ride driving Tony Pacelli into the Hall of Fame. ET, maybe we should revisit the special moment.
When, greatest speech of all time?
When Tony went up to the stage and recognized the hard work, the due diligence that both Dan Hicken and I put in to his Hall of Fame efforts. Here Tony Pacelli is to the world. He's walking up to the podium. Sorry, he's a little slowed.
It all starts with Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser, who, by the way, belongs on this stage really soon.
Thank you.
Thanks to meeting Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser. You made us winners. I always respected you.
Thank you.
And I'm more grateful for you, Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser, with every passing year. And Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser, you and your family will always mean the world to Angie and I. Thank you. It's not an overstatement. You were all instrumental in my path to Canton. Guys like Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser, you were all essential to my personal success and emblematic of why our teams in Jacksonville reflected the very best values of our game. Your background, ethnicity, and beliefs and talents Thank may you. Differ. But when you report to work,
yep.
you're one. But above all, I thank God for Dan Hicken and Jeff Prosser. Thank you.
Oh, I haven't heard that in a while. Oh, that's good stuff.
Warms your cockles?
Oh, the cockles are warmed, buddy. They are revved. They are revved. That is just fantastic. Oh, that'll be the gift that keeps on giving. So, now, you know, veterans now, Dan and I, of driving Jaguars into the Hall of Fame, our next mission, I said this when we came back. All right, I'm not I'm going to say something. Everybody give me credit in 3 years when it comes true, guy, okay? But I want to remind everyone, after spending a lot of time with Freddie T at the Hall of Fame in Canton this year, both at the ceremony, at Pacelli's party, and known Fred forever, man, since he was a freshman at the University of Florida, okay? And I told him this. And I remember saying it when we got back and we were still celebrating a Pacelli and looking ahead a little bit. It's going to be sooner rather than later for Fred. A landslide of support is coming Fred Taylor's way. I think it might be this year. Here are the 28 finalists that were announced yesterday, okay? We've got it down to 28. That list will go to 15. 15 is a list Fred has not made yet. I would almost guarantee he's in the 15 and gets in the room. And when he gets in the room and you stack up numbers, he is in a class with like Barry Sanders and Jim Brown and very few others. And he amassed a long enough career that we don't have to worry about, well, the numbers just aren't there. Yes, maybe for a period. No. For a long time. Fred Taylor is the 17th leading rusher in NFL history. That means something. Here are some good players in NFL history who have less yards than Fred Taylor. Steven Jackson, John Riggins, O.J. Simpson, LeSean McCoy, Warwick Dunn, Jamal Lewis, Eddie George, Marshawn Lynch, Chris Johnson, Sean Alexander, Earl Campbell, Jim Taylor, Larry Zonka, That's a long list. Terrell Davis. He has more rushing yards than a dozen current Hall of Famers. And then there's this. Fred Taylor is 17th in NFL history with rushing, 11,695 yards. Every single running back with a yard more in NFL history are in the Hall. All of them. Emmitt Smith, Walter Payton, Barry Sanders, Curtis Martin, LaDainian Tomlinson, Jerome Bettis, Eric Dickerson, Tony Dorsett, Jim Brown, Marshall Faulk, Edgerrin James, Marcus Allen, Franco Harris, Thurman Thomas, and then there's Fred. Ahead of all the names that I just mentioned now, slight asterisk, there are two running backs ahead of him who aren't in the Hall yet, but will be. Frank Gore, third all-time, Adrian Peterson, fifth all-time. No-brainer, shoe-ins. Peterson, a first ballot. Gore is in. I don't know if he's first ballot or not. It's a hell of a long, productive career that was never super outstanding, but nonetheless, that kind of, it was, Frank Gore was very Curtis Martin-like, wasn't he? Real similar to Curtis Martin. So here is Fred, right? Every running back ahead of him and then a bunch behind him in the Hall. Hall of Famers behind Fred Taylor, just on the first couple of pages behind him. Within a couple of thousand yards include John Riggins, O.J. Simpson, and Earl Campbell. And when you get analytic with Fred now, yards per carry and all these size speed facts, his peers, how much more public Fred has become in on different platforms and podcasting and speaking up for himself. I think it might be this year, E.T. Here's why. Let's go to the 28 semifinalists announced yesterday. First things first, and most important to me, there's only one other running back up. If they put a running back in this year's class, now this is going to be influenced by, do we continue this trend of throwing 5-6 guys in every year? That's not like a rule. They've been doing it. There's only one other running back, gang. It's Ricky Waters. Fred Taylor will far surpass Ricky Waters in the next round of voting. So if you are position specific, for a guy who's top 20 in the history of your league, a league, by the way, that for most of its existence just ran the football. Let's don't even get into Fred's abilities as a receiver, total yardage. I wonder where Fred Taylor is. Total yardage. All these years, I've never looked up. Now, total yardage, they'll include. I don't want the return yards. Yeah, these are Jerry Rice has most all time, and it's just basically off of receiving. This is sickening. Although the returns aren't going to be enough to factor anybody. Boy, here's Herschel Walker, 12th all time. Herschel's higher in the rushing standings than you would think, too. Perhaps there's a campaign there. Yeah, the return yards are going to bump, and some of the receivers. They're bumping Fred down, but he's still. You got to go down a little bit. He didn't pick up, as many as 4,000 receiving yards. Let's don't get into any detriments. Let's stay on the current path, and that is there's only one other running back, right? Now, let me read the rest of the class, dude. These are the semis. You stop me when there's a no-brainer, okay? And I'm not arguing Fred over these guys one-to-one-to-one, but I'm just saying in the context of argument with they get to the 15 and in the room, stop when we get to the, hey, you don't need to tell me anything he's in, okay? If you hear that guy, E.T., stop me. Eric Allen, cornerback. Jared Allen, defensive end. Willie Anderson, offensive tackle. Rondae Barber, cornerback. Anquan Boldin, wide receiver. Henry Ellard, wide receiver. Jari Evans, offensive guard. London Fletcher, linebacker. Dwight Freeney? Guarantee? No, I think he'll get in eventually. James Harrison? It's kind of like Freeney. Rodney Harrison. The numbers are going to have to match up. I'd have to look at that, but yeah. All right. And now it's going to be hard to say, yeah, guaranteed, because I'm going to give you a bunch of names here that have been in this list and percolating. They are including Devin Hester. Any fool puts Devin Hester in the Hall of Fame over Fred Taylor, I give up. Devin Hester had his niche. But, come on. Torrey Holt. Andre Johnson. Albert Lewis. Robert Mathis. Darrell Revis, first ballot. Darrell Revis, a no-brainer. Darrell Revis at some point is going in the Hall.
Yeah, he's going in.
But right, Steve Smith Sr., been around. Joe Thomas, offensive tackle, right in. He probably goes right in. But then you got Hines Ward, DeMarcus Ware, probably goes in this year. Ricky Waters, Reggie Wayne, Vince Wilfork, Patrick Willis, Darren Woodson. Look, these are all great players. They're in the final 28. But that Tony Boselli faced some deeper challengers. He went through the Randy Mosses and Peyton Mannings and, you know, Troy Polamalu, guys stepping in that were, boom, immediate, no-brainers. Fred doesn't have that competition. Could we get back-to-back Hall of Fame?
Ooh.
Could we? Could the wonderful general manager of the station have to write Stephen Griffin have to write another big old check to send us to Canton again?
Send ET this time.
Yeah, we got to get you in there this time. That's for sure. So not only is Fred a 28 yesterday, we'll talk to Fred a number of times between now and the Super Bowl, okay? You know, that's as simple as going to contacts on my phone. That wouldn't take much. But big Fred Taylor proponents, and to Dan Hicken's credit, he was on Fred way back. Way back. And the implications, you know, time heals perceptional wounds. You know, while they're playing, you think Priest Holmes is better than Fred Taylor. And then you get through the whole career and you look back and you say, no, he wasn't. He may have shined brighter for a blip, but no, he most certainly was not. And Fred Taylor, in his prime, offered a speed-size combo that is not seen around the NFL very often. Not many with the ability to run over you and then out-sprint you. And I've got, I'll look them up at some point between now and then. I've dropped them on you before. Maybe you took notes. But I can remember when first phrasing this argument after we got back from Canton, throwing stuff up there that is, you know, he's top three or five in like some, like, you don't have to extrapolate out a bunch. I'm talking about main line right in front of your face type numbers and stats. And he's going to have some big boys on his side, too. A lot of believers in Fred Taylor out there. So I'm so happy for Fred. It means a lot to him. Fred played his whole career more anonymously than he deserved. And so if he got to talk it up here a little bit at this time, Pete Prisco will be a big advocate. Jim Brown himself has said Fred Taylor is the best running back that he's seen. I mean, he's going to have some. So go ahead and give a heads up to Guggen Howard up there. We'd like to be back at Brookside next year, Howard. We'll have a good time with you out on the golf course. Our Gators this year, not so much, friend, and our Jags were catching up. But Guggen Howard next summer, when Dan and I join you for another delightful round of golf at Brookside, next summer, arrow's going to be pointing even further up for our football team and hopefully celebrating yet another Jaguar in the Hall of Fame. And couldn't happen to a better dude, Fred Taylor. We got a weird story developed in the NFL. Did you see what the Cardinals did? Cardinals up and fired an assistant coach, Bob Kugler. And this is what's interesting. It was over a mystery incident in Mexico City. Cliff Kingsbury says the team fired offensive line coach and running game coordinator Sean Kugler for an incident Saturday in Mexico City. We relieved him of his duties. He was sent home. Challenging anytime you make a staff change in that type of manner. The Cards were in Mexico City for the weekend and through the Monday Night Football loss to the 49ers. They've not specifically said more about the nature of the incident or exactly why he was fired, but, I mean, he gone. It's not a suspension.
Uma tequila?
You could get in some trouble in Mexico City.
Ay, ay, ay.
You would like to think that you wouldn't have to worry about your staff being among that group. That's a player problem. Players are young and running and dumbing, and that's different, man. And you're a 45-year-old man. You ought not be.
Come on,
yeah, you might be fired by another organization you're a member of. Your family. Let's hope they don't know the details because it can't be good, dude. But seriously, think about the context. you have an incident, quote unquote, in Mexico City, and you're fired? God only knows what that, when that video pops up. My man's buck naked in the, you know, like Casa Caballo.
With a tie tied around his head.
There you go. Face, nose to chin, covered in white powder.
Talking all in the camera.
He's like a hangover character right now, my man Coogler. Coogs. We got more NFL news and a football fix. I want to get to the coaches in this week's game. Let's go through Billy Napier and Mike Norvell. Look, Norvell is just barely had a puncher's chance, and still FSU hung with the Gators last year in Gainesville. Florida's won three straight in the series, but they did have the benefit of back-to-back home games because the 2020 game was canceled, and that would have been an FSU home game. Noel's big favorites in this. That 9.5 points looks a little too thick for me, but I mean, the thing about Florida is you never know. You know, if the team that played the first half against Utah or the second half against Texas A&M or the full game against South Carolina or the portions against the third quarter against Georgia or the big portions of the Tennessee game. Now, getting that consistently really has only happened one time, and it happened against what you would still think was kind of an average team in South Carolina, although the result against Tennessee would say opposite. So, first, here's a Billy Napier on his matchup Friday night against Mike Norvell and the Noles.
Quickly turn the page here in a short week to get ready against a really good Florida State team. Ton of respect for Coach Norvell and his team and how it's improved. Certainly when you watch the tape, you see that improvement. Year one to two to three, and certainly they're playing really good football right now. So, a lot of challenges, got to go play at their place, and I know our players are anxious about this opportunity.
Hello, FSU-Florida rivalry. I've missed you. Okay, we're still slumbering around down at, like, all due respect to the Fighting Catlins and everyone else, like the Mississippi State level. This is more like Arizona State than it is Ohio State-Michigan, right? That's where you want this rivalry to get back to. It seems far-fetched. It's been so long. But for a very long time, when Florida and Florida State met at the end of the year, it was not unlike the Ohio State-Michigan meeting is now. It was two top five teams, sometimes 1-2, 1-3, 2-4. Hadn't been there for a long time. And the spice in this rivalry kind of left with, like, Jameis. I mean, since Jameis was there, it's just been one team or the other's been bad is what I mean. There's been no, like, real ramifications. And so with that as the backdrop, it's hopefully the renewal of this rivalry. I'm actually getting some fun, back talk from FSU fan, right? I mean, yeah, the stakes aren't as huge. They're a little bigger for FSU because they're really surging and been winning, and it's important for Billy Napier to, you know, not limp home with two straight and a 6-6. And you just kind of feel like, you know, maybe next year or the year after that, this game will really mean something like it has for much of Billy Napier's life.
You know, when I was growing up, Florida and Florida State were dominating college football, you know, and it was Steve Spurrier, it was Bobby Bowden, and pretty awesome to be a part of this game. Ton of respect for that place in the history and tradition there. So excited about the opportunities that come with this game. Certainly we all are very aware of the history, the tradition, the rivalry, and the things that come with that.
All right, as for Mike Norvell, he's only been here, what, this will be his third game against the Gators, and immediately kind of weighs in that you know that this one's a little bit different.
I mean, it's just, it's the passion, the intensity, you know, the pageantry of it, really. I mean, it's all of it. And I mean, I'm a fan of college football, and you can't speak of great rivalries without mentioning this one.
And that's true. Yeah, that's fine. But guess what? Army and Notre Dame was a great rivalry at one point. And they got to be better than middling around like Florida and Florida State have for the most part, you know, with aside from a brief burst here or there. You know, and FSU is primed to kind of roll off of this. Jordan Travis is going to come back for his 71st year at FSU next year. So they got a chance to keep some momentum going. As for this Friday night's matchup,
I mean, you see talent. I mean, that's it. This is a talented team. It's you got great size, speed, athleticism. You know, you've seen them play at very high levels, you know, different spots of the year. You know, it's it's one that is very capable. They played at a high level throughout, and I mean, you know, there's just, you know, they're in the first year of a new staff, so they got like some new schemes, different things like that. But no, it's a talented group they're playing.
You know, you talked about, we've talked about how important it's going to be for the Jaguars this weekend against the Ravens to make them one-dimensional as possible and really try and stifle a running game that's top three in the NFL. Well, that's the same thing with FSU and the running game. And it could get out of hand in Tallahassee. If it gets out of hand in Tallahassee, it's going to get out of hand just one way. It's going to get out of hand FSU's way, because they do have the ability from the threat of, you know, Jordan Travis as a runner, a more willing runner than the Gators' running quarterback. FSU goes for 217 a game, and look, Florida, that's the same game plan, right? They're also a running football team. My gosh, if they could get some desire out of Anthony Richardson, it would make a big difference. In fact, Florida is exactly one spot behind FSU in the national rankings when it comes to running the football. Each are inside the top 15, FSU at 217 and Florida at 209. Football Fix, when we return, it's Custom Tree Surgeons Thursday.
Ladies and gents, please put your hands together as Dan Hicken enters the studio.
Beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
You name it! Look!
You know it!
I got beans, greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb,
yes,
rams,
sir! Hogs, dogs,
greens, potatoes, tomatoes, chicken, turkeys, rabbits.
Oh, yeah! Beans, greens, if you want to humanely kill the local turkeys, just let Dan scream at them. They'll keel right over.
What's up, E?
Hey, Jeff. There are great traditions here on the drill.
Are there?
Yes.
What's this one?
I'd like to announce the continuation of another great tradition. On the Wednesday before the drill, I like to call it Mail It In Wednesday. That's what I'm here to do. I'm breaking for the holiday at 10 o'clock today, and I ain't stopping. So you're going to get me at about, you're going to get Dano at about 50% today.
What was the traffic like out there? I think a lot of people think the holiday's today.
It is. Yeah. I just want you all to know that.
We're here all the time. We're like the, we're, I did this.
Dan's giving 50 today.
Yeah.
I'll start with this little story.
50
this little
minutes,
nugget.
You mean? Or?
No, 50%.
Oh. Would you Dan's rather, not, should they rather have a 100%
Dan's
for 50 minutes?
Dan's not amped with his teeth sunk into the world of sports this morning.
Oh. No. Well, I can carry, so I'm enthused.
Attaboy.
Invigorated.
Yeah, that's good. Dan's it's a great tradition here on the drill. Mail It In Wednesday, I like to call it. E. You got to learn about it. It's a big part of what we
How's
do
How's that different
here.
From every week ending with a Mail It In Friday?
Some would say that. I'll start with this little number for
you. Nice. We got a nugget.
As we prepare for tomorrow in a Hicken family record 27.
Oof.
At the house.
Yeah, we're going to the in-laws, who I love and adore, and especially since they're hosting.
27, so wife's in the weeds right now. But I give her credit. She's handling it like a trooper. She loves this stuff. She loves to entertain.
They do, yeah, they do.
But we have a problem over at the house.
Okay.
I'll throw this out to the Googans. I've tried everything except for the one obvious thing that I'm not going to do, which is to crawl up there and look for the dead varmint myself.
Oh, boy.
But we've got a stench coming through.
No bueno.
It's just my son's room. Okay?
I want to send hazmat in there, buddy.
So it hasn't.
Teenage boy?
Well, that's what we thought at first. I thought it was his socks.
Yeah, I get
honest
it.
To God.
No, I hear
like,
you.
What in the hell?
Yeah.
Have you had a shower? You know, type like that.
Sometimes something in the kitchen will go ripe like that, and you just can't find what it is.
So there's this ripe stench coming in through his room.
Yeah.
And so.
Make sure to put all the guest coats in there on his bed.
We've had them all come through, man.
What do you mean, all?
Our friends from Bueller, our friends from Lockhart, our friends from everybody's working right now to find out the cause of the Hicken stench. That Hicken house
you gotta
has a
have
stench.
Like a squirrel or a rat or something.
Well, that's what we
the...
think. So we got a guy yesterday. He's crawling through the ducts. God bless him. I'm not going up there.
It's like a horror movie.
I'm not going. We had another guy from our
Halloween
pest service.
Thanksgiving Inns.
He doesn't get named because he's not a client. But anyway, So
at the FTX is
one dude's
broadcast
up there. He starts screaming like a baby.
What?
Yeah, he's up there, and I didn't
like
hear
screaming
it.
Like in terror. Or? Yeah,
well, he comes down. He goes, "Did you hear me?" And I'm like, "No, man."
But you did, or no?
No. I go, "What happened?" He goes, "I think something crawled across my back."
Aye.
And I'm like, my God, I am not going up there hunting for if I find said varmint, which, by the way, I think is dead because it's a stench. I don't know.
Did you? So we still don't have the source?
We found he found one thing.
A thing?
I forget what you call it, but it was up there.
Is that an animal?
No.
Oh.
A piece of property, equipment.
What the hell are you saying? And it stinks out.
Mail it
hell?
In Wednesday.
But it stinks
goes,
this
He
piece?
Goes to me, do you want to smell it?
What?
I'm like, hell to the no. I don't want to smell it.
I mean, is it a piece of like of the attic, insulation? What is it?
It's a pan, like some, I don't know what it is.
Huh.
I don't know.
Odd, what's going on up there? You're like
anyway,
a Gretel house.
So one guy put up some different smelling stuff, try to get rid of the smell. And then the thought was maybe it's just that the dead varmint stuck in there. We can't find it, and it's just going to have to
work its
take
way
its
out.
Course.
Perfect timing. I'm coming over to the stink
well,
house.
Well, it's only the one room, thank God.
Can you close it down?
Do yeah.
You do like the old college down. Trick and put a towel at the bottom of the door?
No. So anyway, that was taking up a lot of the time yesterday. Mm. But there's one thing that's for sure. Danny's not climbing up there to look for that.
First of all, you'd fall and concuss
or
yourself.
Or rolling through the duct system or such.
No, that's not your job.
So, but shout out to the boys who went up there. And
I wouldn't expect the boys to come sit in here and do this.
Tried to pull the varmint out of there.
People have their roles.
Yeah, but I don't even know if that falls under their role. That's what I mean. I think
well,
that's going
that's
above
on you.
And beyond.
That's for sure, that's your deal. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know.
I'm a little different, but I don't have I wouldn't have to crawl through ductwork. But if we have something stinking, I go up in the attic with a flashlight and see if I can identify it. It's usually though, man, you got to have something to kill it. I don't know how the little so and so got trapped or whatnot, because usually they're smart enough to not just die unless something kills them.
Well, they get stuck or something.
Yeah,
yeah. But I don't know if he died or not.
No, if you got a smell like that, what could it be? Something's dead.
Yeah,
you know they don't.
Yeah. So anyway, that's going on. It's a fascinating topic.
I know it's a mail-it-in Wednesday when
that's why it's mail-it-in
when this happens. You ready for this? This is how many years have we been doing a radio show, boss?
Long time.
Let me see. If we go back to like the old days with Bernie the Vampire Slayer.
20 plus.
Yeah, 20 plus, right?
We didn't get a celebration, though.
That's okay. I mean, we don't need one. Every day is a celebration, Fred.
That's true.
In the history of this program, to your knowledge.
No crawl space under my home, Googans. Not that I know.
In the history of our show and our friendship, to your knowledge, this can even go to any time that we spent together in TV land.
Uh-huh.
Have I ever asked the following question of you? And for certain, the answer has never been, yeah. But the following question in all these years, have I ever said to you, mm-hmm. when I walked into a room, or you did, mm-hmm. where there is a television, have I ever said, would you like me to put the soccer on?
No, never.
Never. First time today.
That just happened.
And the answer was?
Sure.
Sure.
I watched El Tree and my homeland.
Yeah.
Poland yesterday.
Poland's Lewandowski.
My Poland star guy.
Choker.
Killed me. Mm. Had a penalty kick.
No score there in the art. You know what that's interesting about that?
We're not going to do a Facebook Live as I go up into the attic.
Nah.
That would be fun, though.
Yeah, it would.
The look of terror on my face if I saw a rodent.
It would be like Blair Witch.
You know how it would be like Blair Witch.
Yeah.
That would be
oh
so
my God!
Snotty coming out of his nose.
Hey, come on. Yeah. I'm so scared.
Hold
so
the camera close to your face.
The worst you could run into would be a raccoon.
Oh yeah. Somebody thinks it's your raccoon that made it to the attic.
It could be a raccoon. It could be a squirrel. But it's most likely a rat.
Oh, somebody thinks it might be the sweet stinky.
No, the sweet stinky. There's some sweet involved. It doesn't smell to high hell.
Perhaps it's Beef dressed as a rat trying to terrorize us for all the times we yelled at him.
Maybe it's your pool. It's got a lot of
Pablo Bay dismay. Yes, it is. There's a lot going on here.
Maybe it's that. Didn't you have like a goose issue or something?
No, we had that dead duck that one time. Yes. Dead bird that just fell out of the sky with no head.
There's something going on. Maybe
that was freaky.
Are you sure you haven't built on an Indian
burial
ground?
The boy king is not firing up the reefer.
The reefer. Showing your age. Reefer madness.
The boys are trying to solve this for me. I appreciate that.
I made a compelling argument statistically. First of all, kudos to you. You were on the Fred Taylor should be in the Hall of Fame years before it became, commonplace. We've argued pretty much for Tony. But when you see the 28 come out, Dan, you know where Fred Taylor's standing is in the all-time, you know, record books. He's the only player in the top 17 who's not in the Hall. He's 17th.
Uh-huh.
But then I look at the 28, okay? You got to take things in steps, right? Mm-hmm. Fred has been in the 28 a couple, three times now.
Not, a semifinalist?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's not made the 15.
No, we got to get him in the room.
But that's where this list comes in into play, okay? You got only one other running back. So you have no running back competition. You're going to – Ricky Waters will not – he'll – if they do any kind of positional breakdown, Ricky Waters will get blown right out of the
discussion. Got to get him in the room, though.
I think he gets in the 15. Have you taken time yet to really look at this list?
There's a lot of good players, man.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of one thing we've learned about covering the Hall for all these years, it's a momentum thing.
There's not a lot of great players, though.
We need to get momentum for Fred.
I think he could go in this year. I'm not predicting that he will, but this is not a list that screams, you know, it's not the challengers that Tony had in front of him, the Ray Lewis's and Peyton Manning's and Randy Moss's and, you know, some of the best all time at their position. It's a good list. They're on the 28.
Yeah.
But if you go down that list, you're not going to stop many times.
Jared Allen's a Hall of Famer.
But that's
going to get in.
That's no guarantee he gets in this year.
No, I'm just going down in
order. I'm saying right now, no-brainer.
At some point, Anquan Boldin.
Okay. Stop for a second.
Dwight Freeney. James Harrison.
Stop for a second.
Yeah.
Forget at some point.
Yeah.
Go through the list and say, yeah, that guy's going in this year. Stop on that guy. This year, that guy's going in.
Devin Hester, Torrey Holt, Andre Johnson.
We have opposite opinions on this. Those are all good players.
Joe Thomas, Zach Thomas.
Joe Thomas,
DeMarcus Ware.
And DeMarcus Ware's
Patrick
two.
Willis.
And Revis is three. Those are the three to me that will go in for sure.
Who?
Revis.
Uh-huh.
Thomas and DeMarcus Ware. I think you've got to fight.
Fred Taylor was a much better football player than Zach Thomas.
I know he was. He was a much better player than Devin Hester. A lot of those guys, he was a much better player. Yeah. He's going to get momentum, Hick. He's going to have some heavy hitters on his side.
From who? Who's the heavy hitters?
The media has fallen for Fred Taylor here. I do. Thanks in large part to his self-promotion. Is Jim Brown not on record that Fred Taylor's the best running back he's seen?
I don't know.
Didn't he say that at one point?
I hope so.
I don't know if he's hung to that opinion overall, but he would certainly put him up there.
Yeah. I'm 100% Fred guy.
Of course.
I just don't think it's going to happen this year.
I'm not saying it will.
I will be happy. I will be overjoyed if he gets in the room. At some point, he needs to be debated. He has certainly earned that right. Taylor needs to be debated.
I would feel so confident if such a line existed that he gets in the room this year, that he's in the 15. Mm. He is in the 15 of that list of 28 is my point.
There's no question.
There are no –
he's in the 5, but it's not – I'm just telling you, seeing how this thing works, I don't know. This is his fourth time. Tony got in on a sixth time. I hope he – we need to get him in the room.
In the room, his argument is going to really open some eyes for some people because he holds up big time statistically with the top 3 or 5 in history, not 17.
He does.
And he will. I really believe – I feel strongly that there's going to be a lot of momentum this year, and I would be shocked if he's not in the room.
Mm.
Because, you know, as I said, yeah, those are all great players. They are. All good to great players. They are. But there's no – they're not – you don't go like – there were some years where there's like 4. They're in. There's no discussion. Peyton Manning, Ray Lewis, Randy Moss. These guys are in. That guy maybe is Joe Thomas. That would be it. Wasn't Ware up to go in last year?
There's a lot of sack guys here.
Ware was in the room last year. Jared Allen's been in the room, so it's not a – you know.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's do this. We'll continue that discussion today as well because it's a good topic. We'll also do the Friday 5-pack. We got a lot going on today. Do we have trivia today?
We do. John is
next.
Let's
do it next.
Yeah.
Bang. Ba-ba-da-da. You know him, you love him. Pre-Thanksgiving, please welcome to the program, Get Smart John, TriviaNation.com zone. He's bald, he's beautiful. By God, he smells good.
Mm. Not like your...
I want to rub his head.
Stink room.
Hello, Johnny.
Good morning, Googans. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, John. You too.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, appreciate that. I just want to say one thing, and I don't like to pile on, but with regard to the Jags, you know, when the Commanders played them,
yes,
the Commanders' defense held the Texans to to 5 yards total in the whole first half. And you alluded to earlier, I guess in the week, Dan, about the worst loss for the Jags. Yeah. You can't lose to that team.
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, so, anyway. And by the way, we shut them down too. They only scored.
Yeah.
They had one drive when it was 6-6 at the half. They had the one drive in the second half. Damian Pierce got us, and that was all she wrote.
Yeah. Listen, I still – you should have beaten the Commanders. You had them. So, yeah.
And we were, those two wins, and you're 5-5, and everybody's happy.
The Broncos was
absolutely
in the bag.
Yeah.
Why are you doing this, John?
Broncos.
No,
no.
Because, listen, I'm a Jags fan,
too.
You
are.
You know, it's so it's – anyway.
Damn it. All right. Let's do trivia.
Let's do some trivia. Okay. Since we're on the eve of Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Words.
Words get in the way. He hurt me with his words. Yes.
Also a man's name. Uh-huh. What three-letter word refers to a male turkey?
Tom.
Tom, yeah.
Right. Now, wouldn't you have thought...
No. That'd be a U.
Oh, that's terrible. It's female sheep, for Pete's sake.
Uh-oh.
When you said three letters, the first name that came to my mind, Ted. Ted the turkey.
Well, Tom, no, this is his brother. His cousin's Ted.
And you know what came to mind when you said U? Remember the Los Angeles Rams cheerleaders, the embraceable U's?
Yes, very nice.
Yeah.
They were embraceable.
Right. Games.
Games people play.
In the middle of the night.
Night, day, they're just not magic.
In darts, what color is the innermost bullseye?
It's red. Is that red?
Yeah. It's red.
It is red.
Yeah.
And then the one around it is green.
Correct.
Yes. Of course, Thanksgiving would not be complete without Charlie Brown.
Yes.
In it's been a long time since I've seen one of the old Charlie Browns, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
40 years, probably.
Yeah. Loved him as a kid. In a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Snoopy and Woodstock eat a large slice of what kind of pie?
I'm almost pumpkin,
pumpkin,
right?
What else would it be?
Positive.
It got to be pumpkin.
Pumpkin.
Yeah. Pumpkin.
Yes.
Because they had the great pumpkin. Was that a different
one? That's a different one.
Right.
Boom!
Right.
Yes!
Yeah.
Is it great pumpkin Halloween?
I believe it is.
Yeah. You're going out to wait for the great pumpkin.
Yeah, I guess so.
Have to be.
Such a charming, innocent little show kids used to watch. Now they're watching these little cartoons, or they're all sarcastic and violent.
You get excited when Chuck Brown's Christmas came on.
Yeah, you're a kid. You're a kid.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
There is some advantage to having limited entertainment options because it means more, man.
Yeah.
Like now you got a million channels and your iPod.
Chuck Brown's Christmas and the Grinch.
Yeah.
Or just
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Oh.
Right. Oh, for sure.
Snowman.
Oh,
Frosty.
Yeah.
Winter Warlock. Yeah.
Yeah. All of them.
Not to be a downer, but you know, the original voice of Charlie Brown, he committed suicide.
Yeah, you are a downer, John.
Yeah, sorry.
Anything else you want to share with us?
I mean, we apologize to all of you out there have the blues.
And he was 65. He was 65 years old, so that really, wow. It's like, man, how long ago it was. But anyway. Yeah, I can remember things that happened 50 years ago, but I'll go walk into a room. I'll be like, why the hell did I come in here? So,
been there, done that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. C in food.
C, the letter C, or S-E-A?
Yep. C, the letter C.
Okay.
Hummus is made primarily made of what mashed legume?
It's chickpeas, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Oh, very good.
Look at Jeff carrying it.
Yeah.
Candy.
I like hummus, by the way.
Do you?
I do too. Mm-hmm. I do too. Candy lovers.
Check the carb count on that, Dan. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I don't even know why you're talking about that during Thanksgiving week.
I walked in today too. It was even worse because yesterday they had this big potluck party grading, you know, contest here.
Yes, sir.
And I walked in this morning and I was like walking into Grandma's kitchen. It just smelled of Thanksgiving foods. I peek in the room. You got these. All these sugar, you know, bread rolls and don't worry about me. I'll have my
Me hungry.
I'll have my two boiled eggs and my kiwi here shortly.
Oh, yum! Okay, candy lovers.
All right, tomorrow, by the way, there's no pretense, dude. I'm eating whatever, however much of any and everything that I want. And
wonderful,
that's happening.
As you should.
Yeah.
As you should. Yes. Candy lovers might know what first name of President Grover Cleveland's daughter, born October 3rd, 1891.
Baby Ruth.
The category is candy. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Isn't the, in like the urban legend that Baby Ruth was named after Babe Ruth?
But it was really named after something else.
It was, for a long time it was that. Yes, you are correct.
I remember Reggie Jackson got a candy bar because he said, if I go to New York, they name candy bars after me, and then he got a candy bar. I remember that.
And it basically was a Goo Goo cluster.
I think it was. I think Hank Aaron may have had one, too.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah.
It was O. Henry, wasn't it?
O. Henry. Was that the one?
I don't know. I think it was. I think.
I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Could be.
All right. Well, I can't afford that.
O. Henry's, yes.
Did they still make O. Henry's?
I don't know.
I don't recall seeing one lately, but they still make.
No one really knows.
That's true. Let's do your audio clue.
Audio clue.
Steel Henry.
Good job, John. O. Henry. Hank Aaron.
The Clark Reggie bar, like you said, the Goo Goo cluster. Those are good, too. Union of the Snake.
Is this a Bond song?
Probably.
Well, it is, but that's not the question.
Right. View to a Kill, that's what it is.
Uh-huh. Right, so...
I know who this is.
Who sings it? It was a number one song.
Hang on.
It's just a dude, it's not a band?
No.
It's not Duran Duran, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Duran Duran.
Yeah.
It is Duran. Yeah. By the way, that song, the only James Bond theme to go to number one.
Hey, Jeff, Jeff, how's your back?
I don't know. My brain works better because I don't have all that sugar in it. I'm like George Costanza. Remember when he gave up? He became real smart when he gave up, in his case, something else that dominated his mind. He had sugar. That's all I see everywhere I look.
Yes. Okay. All right. We have time for a couple more.
I love you, little Debbie.
I miss you.
Come back. Anyway.
Okay.
Chef Boyardee. We've split up. I mean, we've got all kinds of issues here.
Okay. In movies, Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, mm-hmm. Neil, played by Steve Martin, tries to get home to what city in time for Thanksgiving?
Chicago?
I don't know. I've seen the movie once. I know all about
remember
it.
Remember Poca Poca Poca? There was Wisconsin.
Where were they coming from? Do you know? I don't know that movie at all. I think I saw it once when it came out. I mean, I understand.
That's a funny movie.
Yeah,
it's
I need to watch that.
Good.
I need to watch that again. Chicago is definitely in that movie. I can remember that, but I don't know if that was a stopping point where they got on a new train.
I think it's Chicago. That's my first.
Let's just go with that.
Chicago.
You are correct. Nice. It is Chicago.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice.
Okay. Where was he coming from? Do you remember? Was it New York?
I think it was, yeah.
All right.
I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Still miss John Candy. Gosh, he was funny.
So good.
Yeah. Literature.
Literature.
Which 1954 novel is about a group of British boys stranded on an uninhabited island and their disastrous attempt at self-governing?
That's one we all read.
Lord of the Flies.
That's right. That's right. We did all. I wonder if kids will have to read that today.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I think Brooks is
reading. Yeah, it's called The Newspaper.
No, I think Brooks is reading it right now, as a matter of fact.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
okay.
Actually is.
That was actually a interesting, entertaining book.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like I've deemed many years ago in this program, it's time to retire. The classics are boring as hell. Don't even read them. Stop it.
It's the best of times. It was the worst of times.
No. This is the worst of books. Go give me Lord of the Flies. Yeah.
Yes. Okay. So this is your last one. Okay. Now, Jeff, you're aware that we do have halftime questions.
Of course I am. I'm a veteran.
Right. So you are. And I want you to come up with two for this. So listen carefully. Mm-hmm. The 20th Amendment to the Constitution moved the start of a president's term from March 4th to January 20th.
Okay.
Two of the first five presidents whose first elected term began on January 20th. Yes.
No.
By the way, Guggets and Guganella speak. So so just need two. So think about it, okay?
I don't know when it changed. I mean, are we supposed to go back as far as we can remember that it was –
So are you telling me, what's the question?
They used to start in March, and now when did they start doing it in January?
Well, to think about,
who was the first president to be?
I will give you a hint, okay?
No. Is it two of the first five, though?
Yeah, the first five.
It doesn't have to be in order, just within the list,
Hold on. If there's only been five.
Why isn't it four and five, then?
Why don't we go backwards from right now? You see what I'm saying? The first five. He's not saying there's only five.
No, he said the first five presidents, two of them started in January.
No.
Is what you're saying.
I just need two.
Let me explain it to him. It used to be in March. Then it switched at some point to January.
Correct.
Give me two of the first five January inaugurations.
Oh.
Bingo. Okay.
I was the first five presidents.
I was a little angry there. Huh? Yeah. Do you remember, like, was Kennedy, it was cold, wasn't it? Like, I think cold.
I like your reasoning. Very
like,
nice.
Think in your mind inauguration. I think Kennedy, it was cold. I can't go back. I don't know any other ones.
Well, what about FDR?
I don't know. I don't know if it was cold. I don't remember.
I don't remember it cold.
You know, it seems like I remember with FDR and those guys going on that train trip. If that was leading up to it, that seemed warmer than if it would have been December.
Yeah, but FDR.
Or November.
When did FDR become president? Like after the.
It was in the 30s.
Yeah. So like maybe had something to do with, I don't know, the Depression or.
I think.
Let's go ahead and take a shot.
Let's go two of the first five. Let's put Kennedy in there, and then
Kennedy is one of them.
Right,
that is correct. We're looking for one more. Yes, Kennedy
so
is.
Go. It's got to be. Well, we got to go.
Ike.
It's got to go after.
Oh, after?
Because he said two of the first five. Oh,
well, he didn't say Kennedy. Was
we
the
don't
first.
Know, right? It could be.
Yeah, Ike. I didn't say where in the.
Or after.
Yeah,
when did they make the?
It's either Ike or LBJ. This is for the perfect game right here. Which one, Ike? I like Ike.
Well, LBJ took over for.
Oh yeah,
Kennedy. So,
but then he had 68 though.
He lost.
Or 64.
64, yeah. Oh, yeah. 68 was Nixon.
No, 72 was Nixon. So he was 68.
You were right. No, Nixon was 68 and 72.
Oh, wait a second.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So you want to go Ike or who? LBJ?
It's one of those two because Kennedy is right. So unless Kennedy is fifth, we could go LBJ.
You pick. I don't know.
Eisenhower.
Perfect game.
Yeah!
Supreme victory.
Actually, it was Truman, Eisenhower, Kennedy, Johnson, and Nixon.
Okay,
so,
okay.
Well done, gentlemen.
All right. There we go. We even used logic. I don't know what the hell's going on with me.
I could be in Jeopardy.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
All right,
man.
Guys.
Have a great Thanksgiving to you and your family, and we'll come back with more on the other side.
Said, polka, polka, polka. Wisconsin was home alone. That's right. He was on the home member.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
John Candy was in that. That's
man,
why I was.
Yeah, Home Alone, that's one I can get into.
Yeah.
Still, that was my daughter's favorite, you know, holiday movie. And man, takes some suspension of disbelief.
The mom, she still looks the same too. I just saw a commercial with her
from Home Alone.
Yeah, Kevin Hart.
Oh yeah, it was him. Yeah, well,
she's like
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She was also a star of one of my favorite TV shows,
which was
Schitt's Creek.
Here oh man, go. Why Here do you say go. Words like
well,
that?
Well, I mean, that's the Here name of the go. Show.
Yeah, you can't say that word on the radio. This is the drill. I'm disappointed. All right, when we were in Canton, Ohio for the Tony Boselli inauguration again.
Yes.
Shout out to Tony for giving us so much credit for that journey. You, as will happen with you, end up bunking down and watching TV with your good friend Andy King.
Yes.
Got into the Game of Thrones for half a minute.
Yes, I had some free time and we watched some Game of Thrones.
So you understand
he,
what?
He was there to give me the runs, hits, and errors
sure.
as we went along.
So Game of Thrones, officially it was Game of Thrones. Winter is coming. That's what Game of Thrones' official title is. Okay. I want to talk about another Game of Thrones, and I'm here to tell you.
Yeah.
Chaos is coming. This college, I want to do something.
Mm-hmm.
I want to do an exercise here, okay, if I could.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask you your opinion, and I'll stand by what your opinion is.
All right.
Okay?
Okay. We don't usually agree on this.
Michigan and Ohio State, who wins the game?
Who wins?
Yeah.
Probably Ohio State.
Okay.
But I wouldn't discount Michigan. They're better than they're.
Of course.
They're, yeah, I think it's a good game.
100%.
Yeah. And I'll root for Michigan, by the way. That quirky Harbaugh's got me liking him all of a sudden.
I'm kind of with you on that. Although every time he does a press conference, that like lessens.
Yeah.
He's a goon.
He is, but I like him. I like him better than Ryan Day.
All right. All right. All right.
I don't know why.
Okay. Who is going to win the LSU Texas A&M game?
LSU.
Who's going to win the Georgia LSU game?
Georgia.
Who is going to win? Who's going to win the TCU Iowa State game?
TCU.
Who's going to win the TCU Texas game?
I think TCU is going
to. So TCU. Okay, so they're in. All right. Well, then we don't have to go any further with any other because I'm going to play the game where I think where I'm going to go with what you think is going to happen.
Okay.
So that being said,
am I telling you what I think will happen
yes,
or what should happen?
What you think will happen?
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm ready.
what should and think can be the same, they may be different, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, so then we're pretty much set then.
Does Florida have any shot at getting
in? Oh, gosh, okay. Stop it.
All right. What about if A beats B? And B
yeah,
beats
no,
C?
No, there's no Q that checking. Can get you there. All right, so we're going to have Georgia, Ohio State, and TCU. It's inarguable. It's set in stone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is USC going to beat Notre Dame?
Yes.
Are they going to beat Oregon?
Yes.
Okay, well then, chaos over, yes. Crisis averted. Oh. Your four. All right, and your four will be Georgia, yes. Ohio State, TCU,
but why does USC get in ahead of Michigan, Ohio State?
Because they won their conference.
Okay.
Yeah. And they will have done it with back-to-back wins over Notre Dame and Oregon, and they'll have all the momentum and the brand name and a high-flying offense and a sexy head coach, and they'll definitely.
What I don't want is a situation where all of a sudden Alabama gets in.
Well,
that's what I don't want. They don't deserve to be
in. Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Chaos is coming. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you what. While I'm down.
TCU could lose. USC could lose.
Not could. Like 50, no, but there's to me it's 50-50. I think that like you, those teams will win, but TCU or USC losing another game is a very reasonable possibility, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if LSU wins, they get in.
But they're not. Let's say they, I don't think that's happening either. So LSU loses. TCU, LSU, USC gone.
Yeah.
Guess who that leaves?
Bama. What about Clemson with one loss?
Yeah. That's a question. I don't think anyone thinks Clemson has not impressed people.
You can't take Alabama over Clemson. You can't.
I'm not saying you can or you can. Right now they're 7. I don't know why. The only reason it would change is because you're going to give Clemson credit for beating North Carolina in the ACC championship game.
Yeah.
There's going to be more hurt feelings and arguments this time around if just a couple of those things happen.
Well, let's hope so.
And what I'll give you another one.
Yeah.
This is also not far-fetched.
But you know what the funny thing? In the end, it doesn't matter. It just seems like there's like two teams that are, you know, the winner of the game Saturday and Georgia will probably play for the Natty.
I'll give you a worse scenario that has a 50 to 70% chance of happening.
Uh-huh.
That the final playoff rankings, what if LSU beats Georgia? It's not inconceivable.
No, that'd be awesome.
And Ohio State beats Michigan by 2 in a barn burner.
Yeah.
Is there not a better than puncher's chance that the final four is Georgia, LSU, Ohio State, Michigan? All it takes is USC to lose one of those games and TCU to lose one of those games.
That'd be awesome.
And you're arguing Clemson, Alabama versus those four.
And then what I'd really like, because of the stupid system that I don't really like, is I'd like them, and they would never do this no matter what. But then I'd like Michigan, Ohio State to play one semi and LSU, Georgia to play in the other.
They have to play each other again. Right around. Right.
Yeah, but they wouldn't.
Well, and you know what? They should, too, because they'll probably put Michigan at 4 and they'll do Ohio State.
They'd fix it.
Now, first, LSU, I don't believe can beat Georgia. I appreciate LSU and the fact that they're grinding out wins. Mm-hmm. I do not trust how good they are or not. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think they're more down in that 8 to 15.
Look who's on the Fair phone line. It's Mr. Thanksgiving himself.
Yes. So much to be thankful for.
He has a lot to be thankful for. I'm curious what his take will be this morning as we welcome the Ox Guggen to the show. Good morning, Ox.
Good morning, Guggens. Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
To you
guys
too.
And to all the listeners.
Yeah. Big plans out there in Nocatee, Ox?
Yeah, we got everybody coming. Everybody's coming, and I was cleaning stuff and getting stuff down and doing stuff last night until 9 o'clock. Oh, wouldn't you like to have the tree set up for Thanksgiving?
No.
No, not at all.
No.
Okay, well, let's get the tree. So we were doing that last night until about 9:15, and I finally said that enough of this. We can work on it tomorrow, too.
But, yeah.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So
I walked in from work last night, Gator, and I had tables set up, and I had all these little Thanksgiving pilgrim salt and pepper shakers and all these other little
things. It's a big endeavor.
Accoutrements all around the house.
It's a big event. It's a big opportunity.
We're getting ready for the entertainment portion of Thursday.
We have pumpkins everywhere.
Yeah.
We're
I noticed some new welcome mats. You always know, Ox, that things are when there's more boxes at the door.
Yeah.
The boxes have been coming a lot lately, haven't they?
We got a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
A lot of boxes.
Yeah.
Is that Amazon?
Yeah.
Say, when the doorbell rings. Oof. Guys, are we going to go down on Sunday and have rat burgers?
Are we going down and do what now? Oh, that's it. Settle down.
I mean,
easy. We're going in the press box, and you won't go, so just settle down.
What I want to see is Becker over there knocking on the door of the Kismet. Mr. Khan, come on. Some bodyguard, grab a hold of him and throw him into St. John.
He's talking about the food review or the whatever.
the restaurant review.
The health department. What do you think's on that hot dog you've been eating in Gainesville for 40 years, friend?
You think they're keeping that in encased bubble wrap?
Is he headed to the swamp next, Skater?
I tell you, one of the worst things I've ever seen is I was there and it was raining. And there was water dripping off those concourses that go up into the Sunshine Terrace. Ooh. It was landing on the turkey legs. The boys were selling them out.
Gator. See, there you go.
Gator, when I was a kid, we did our athletics program at the high school. Would do the Orange Bowl. We worked in the manned a booth, man, and sold stuff. And it was FSU Oklahoma Orange Bowl. It was nasty in there, friend.
Yeah. Is it because the stadium's older? Is it because of the area? Is it a combination? Is it just, that's a very industrial area. So there's rats. It's right on the water. There's rats everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
We just need a new stadium. We need a new.
Yes and yes. I think even if you had a brand new SoFi stadium right there, you're still going to have issues at times.
It's a bad area.
Yeah. So.
All right. Well, tell Becker to get out of here. We'll see you guys.
Stay away from the Kismet, Benny.
You know, Dan, to circle back as if it wasn't bad enough.
Yeah.
What an unbelievable, flopped, choked away, missed opportunity by Tennessee. My God.
Oh, it's handed.
You had South Carolina, Vandy to go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now you got a quarterback change, a recruiting class that's gone from 5 to 12. It's not this, Dan Mullen flared up and had a year like he just had.
Well, you don't want to lose to Vandy.
Well, but Tennessee, you know what I mean? They lost that late game to LSU, and then they lost SEC championship.
Yeah.
But they were in the same spot, top five. They could somewhat control their destiny. I mean, what a lost opportunity for Vol Nation. Vol calls must just be on fire up in Knoxville this week.
Boys aren't happy.
I mean, my goodness.
Especially when you got the untold story of the locker room strife and such
building around that. I mean, is this going to be – Butch Jones flared up for half a minute one year and looked like they were going to be good and just went –
I don't know.
You feel better with Heupel, don't you?
Yeah,
the offense is awful good.
Yeah.
And you probably now are able to attract a good quarterback every year because of your reputation
and your production. Yeah, you're going to have big numbers if you
FSU flipped a quarterback yesterday. What do you know about him?
Yeah, I don't know much, but he was going to Ohio State, and he's got stars next to his name. So it's FSU, one of the things lacking. I mean, Jordan Travis's development has been huge, but if he hadn't developed, they would still be. They really haven't gotten the big time quarterback.
Yeah, Rotemaker came in and played good that one game. He was asked to.
They got the Duffy kid. I think they got two now in their class. So they're it's funny. Where are they in the recruiting rankings? They don't really.
Hold on. It's not as.
They're in the 10 to 20 range.
They're like 15 is what I was going to say. Yeah. But let's check. Hold on.
I mean, it was Miami and Florida who were making all the noise early on in recruiting. But if FSU wins 10 games and. Maybe it changes a little bit. So we
all right. Here are your team rankings from. I guess now the ones they tell you to go to is On Three. That's the one that people trust the most.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
All right.
Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Notre Dame 3, Ohio State 4, LSU 5, Texas 6, Oklahoma 7, Florida 8, Clemson 9, Miami 10, Oregon 11, Penn State 12, USC 13, Tennessee all the way down to 14. Remember they were top five at one point. Mm-hmm. FSU's 15th. They do have 1 5-star, 8. 4 stars. Florida's killing it with the 4 stars. They have 17.
I'm looking at 24/7. Florida's 8th. It's Alabama, Georgia, Notre Dame, LSU. Florida's 8. Miami's 10. Tennessee's 11. FSU is 17.
Okay. So
they have 16 commits.
Real similar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Their 16 has 1 5-star.
Yes. They have 1 5.
Eight fours
and
7 3. Whereas Florida does not have a 5. They probably will get one. Yeah, we've got them with 17. So they have them 18 and 4. This one has them 17 and 5. So, if you add up the stars, Florida's 22 stars are not behind very many. Alabama adds to 23. Georgia adds to 20.
To me, it's not so much the points. It's the average.
That's what I mean.
And, Alabama's average is 94.11.
Yeah.
That leads the way. Florida's 92.09.
But that is so negligible with the right coaching and things working. Florida and Georgia's recruiting classes are not that different. Georgia has 18 4-stars and 2 3 stars. Mm-hmm. Florida has 17 4 stars, or in your case, 18 4 stars and here, 4 3 stars.
Georgia has 1 5, 16 4, and 3 3.
Yeah, here it's 0 5 and 18 4.
So. All right, 8 o'clock hour, we got Chris Doering. Oh,
yeah.
That should be fun. And the
Friday five-pack moves to Wednesday Thanksgiving week, and as always, we'll give you a bonus pick. We have to each pick a Thanksgiving day as part of our six-pack this week.
True degenerate special.
Yeah, for sure. We got to give you something on Turkey Day to sink your teeth in other than that, you know, turkey leg. So, mm-hmm. All right. Meanwhile, it's Custom Tree Surgeons Wednesday as we'll take the next couple of days off. Never a day off for our friends over there at Custom Tree Surgeons when you have either an emergency or a general upkeep. You can trust Custom Tree Surgeons. All right. We need a caller. What are we giving away today?
Yeah. We got a $25 gift certificate to Famous Automotive and Quick Lube to be used for an oil change, plus a $25 gift certificate to Time Out Sports Grill in San Jose. But also, because it's Thanksgiving weekend, we're going to give away a pair of tickets to Devon Alban, the Devon Alban Project, live at the Florida Theater, November 30th.
Outstanding. Let's do caller number one at 641-1010. Be kind, be courteous, and be a winner right now.
All right, Dan Higgin, I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
All right. We said earlier, for the first time in the history of the program, all the days and months and years that we've done this together, for the first time ever, I asked you when you walked in today, you want me to put it on the soccer?
Yes.
And your answer was yes. Now, Team USA is not playing, and so I will make an admission. I'm curious where you stand. I ended up being around the house a lot yesterday, and during all idle time, there was a soccer game on the television. That's what I put it on.
Yeah.
I didn't have a lot of competition, you know. Mm-hmm. The good thing about where it is, soccer's done by 4 in the afternoon.
Right.
And so if you want to get into college basketball, and I watched some college basketball
yesterday. Oh, I watched a great game. I'm glad you brought
it up. Creighton?
Yeah. That's like Creighton and
Arkansas.
Arkansas. Woo! They look like Final Four teams.
Nimhard's brother.
He's really good. Yeah. Played great. Had like 25 points. Creighton, Arkansas, and Sparty are my three early Final Four teams.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's way early. Probably way all early. Three not.
Arkansas is missing a guy. Billis. Yeah. The Billistrator was going on and on about how impressed he was with Arkansas, even though Creighton beat him. It was out in Hawaii.
Yeah.
And it was a really good game. Really good college basketball. I mean, guys making shots, offenses being run, defenses being, it was a very good game.
Did you hear that little shout of I told you so yesterday at about 6:30? The Mike White haters as Georgia blew like a 10-point halftime lead and lost by 15 to UAB.
Lose. Yeah, they lost.
I was watching that. By the way, FSU picked up their first win the night before, didn't they?
Mercer.
Mercer. They beat Mercer. They're getting some guys back. I watched a little bit of that game.
They
failed to mention it yesterday.
Yeah, Mike White, I think 4-2.
Yeah. I'm fine with Mike White. Whatever. I have a Shazam spotlight with that Creighton. This is really.
Florida's not playing hoops. When do they play?
They play tomorrow. They play Xavier tomorrow.
Well, we've only played how many games?
We played four.
Four.
Three
four.
And one. They play Xavier tomorrow, and if they win, they'll play Duke. Well, that'd be add that to your Friday smorgasbord of sports options.
Wonderful.
But I had this question.
Yeah, what is the question?
Yeah, it's escaped my mind. You got me sidetracked.
You lost it?
I got it.
You forgot
it's
it?
It's a mail-in Wednesday. Whatever.
Hey, it's mail-in Wednesday.
That was a basketball
Don't worry
question.
About it.
I had a question.
Was it NBA, college?
No, it was college. Yeah. I don't know. Oh, well.
I said Creighton.
She gone. Oh! I have the Shazam spotlight.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Shazam! Thank you, E.
How do you guys like listening to a couple of geriatrics do the radio program?
What?
Yeah.
I can't hear
Today's
you.
Today's program brought to you by the Alzheimer's Association.
What's that?
Huh?
One like that in my day.
You tell me if this the idea of the Shazam is to go, wow, really?
Mm-hmm.
This is a wow, really. I think this will surprise you. What kind of basketball program do you fashion, Creighton?
A good.
Decent team, right?
Yeah.
Solid.
Dougie Buckett's dad's coach, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
First win over a AP top 10 team in Creighton history.
Wow. Whoa. Really? Didn't Creighton beat Florida one year in the tourney?
Right. I would have thought I'd beat big teams in the tournament
right.
before.
Not a top 10.
Top 10.
Now, that's a Shazam Spotlight brought to you by ShazamAuto.com. You'll be thankful. Take that little Black Friday drive a little bit up or down and go to either, down to Stark and see my man Dale Murray and his fine team there, or up to Kingsland as well, and you'll save, and you'll have a great car buying experience, great customer service. I couldn't be happier with the way things have gone since I became truck guy. And so you can go visit the Murray Ford Superstores. That was the Shazam Spotlight.
What is going on with our guy Lane Kiffin?
Yeah, I was going to ask you that. It seems
what
like
are the Catlin boys saying? Who can you count on? He's He's either doubled, and I'm not deep into the story. So here's the perception, okay? Here's the perception if you're just sort of hearing and following and haven't read all about it, and I haven't. I have this perception that Lane Kiffin is not taking the Auburn job because he keeps poking fun at the guy who said he was taking the Auburn job, then he had a meeting with his players this week. So either that Jimmy Sexton is up to no good and trying to get him to break the bank at one of the programs, or he is, I mean, it's a bad look, Lane, if all of a sudden now you take it. I mean, I don't know what's going on here. Well, we got the Egg Bowl coming up tomorrow, right? We got the Egg Bowl.
It sure sounds like one of these guys. I mean, I hope it doesn't play. It sounds like it's one of these deals where the coach says, no, you're crazy, makes fun of this reporter and that one, and then takes the job. Because he outed the kid in Starkville, yeah. It sure seems. I will say this, though. And again, with all due respect to the Fighting Catlins, love the Catlin family, but there's no comparing the Ole Miss job and the Auburn job. Just stop.
Right.
There are people that wonder. Like, if you're not from the SEC, that wonder, you know, you see.
The only problem with the Auburn job, you got to be a strong guy because.
I think, okay.
They are a, what is this?
Here's what we got on the, it's first time Creighton's won a top 10 matchup, I'm sorry. Where they've beaten a top 10 team while they're a top 10 team. So the Shazam spotlight has been altered, but that's still surprising. But nonetheless, that's more to do with Creighton being in the top 10 rather than not having beaten a top 10 team. It's the first time they've won a top 10 matchup.
Well, I've got breaking news on the critter.
Oh.
I've got breaking news.
Oh, breaking news, I've E.T. Gotten the, stop I've gotten, whatever you do. Drop whatever
I'm
you're doing.
I'm going to give my boys some credit here.
Got Doring on one. Now just hang up.
Hold on, Chris. Right. This is big.
All right. The stink room. We have a cause.
My boys at Lockhart Construction.
Uh-huh.
He's got the flashlight
look at
around the head.
That's serious stuff.
And I've also got the picture of the varmint.
Oh, he got it. It's a
squirrel. He got it. It's a squirrel.
News and notes.
Yes. The squirrel has been eradicated.
Nice. Stink room.
The boys from Lockhart
saved.
Construction deserve a bonus.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you guys, I've told you about these guys all the time, but they're awesome. They
do that's not what they do. Don't call them to come get your critter.
No, it's not what they do. Yeah. But they know that I'm helpless, and therefore they have helped a friend all in need. So we do owe them, yes. Well, anyway, now play it.
He played wide receiver and wore number 28 for the head ball coach with over 2,000 yards and 31 touchdowns for the game. His teammates called him Captain Doe. He's now an analyst for SEC Network. And here on The Drill, Chris Doerr.
Brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733.
We got a lot of football to talk about, but we ain't burying the lead around here. I mean, Chris, is TMZ over there today? I saw you in the Post yesterday, Chris. Doring. I mean, congratulations. I get a kick. I made the Post last year. I was so happy. It's a great moment for me. I don't know how you are. You're more of a professional than I am, but where does this incident, how are you handling this back at the studios? Have you been muzzled on this by the bosses? What's happening, Chris?
Man, it's the most overblown, overhyped thing that I've ever been involved with. I mean, I think it was like over 8 million views on Twitter alone last night. So
congratulations.
I don't know. I guess so. I guess there's no such thing as bad press. But man, when you want to talk about a bit interpreted the wrong way, man, this is certainly that the case of that.
Mm-hmm. Peter Burns is a good friend of yours.
Yeah.
Benjamin Watson, he's probably one of my favorite, and I only have like two Georgia Bulldogs that I know. So, so I like both of them. I like both of their ways. You were right in the middle of it, though, Chris Doering. What was that moment like? Was it what? Give us a little context, and we can move on.
I mean, you know, just we were all laughing, having a good time with it, man. And I think sometimes when things get interpreted by outside entities, it maybe loses a little bit of the humor factor. So it's you know, we've all moved on from it. Those are both good friends of mine.
Yes,
and we'll be good on Friday.
All right. I got one more, then I'll let it go.
You lied to me.
I did.
He's like the National Enquirer.
I am a liar.
Now let's go Sports Illustrated.
How did Holly Robinson Pete factor into the Twitter battle, Chris? Holly Robinson Pete. That.
He doesn't know.
What's the deal with that?
She put in like it was a disingenuous apology from your boy Peter, and
he can't help himself.
Holly Robinson Pete is Rodney.
He doesn't know. He said he doesn't.
Who's
know.
On well, the SEC network?
Dory, you have to understand. My man Hicken loves nothing more than a bubble bath and a People
oh,
magazine.
Oh, I love it.
Understand
I love it, Chris. I love it.
I didn't even see. Was there an apology publicly from Peter?
Peter tweeted out, "Hey man, look, we're good friends, but I do owe him an apology because you know I shouldn't
Stepped
joke about
line.
Family and such and whatever." And it was fine. It was listen. I hate when people judge apologies.
Yeah.
It drives me crazy. If you apologize, you apologize. It wasn't good enough, or it wasn't from the heart. You can tell. It drives me crazy. But
you're
anyway,
you guys know this though. The thing is, like, if he said that about me, like, it would be a totally different deal.
Sure,
he and
correct.
I are probably like close.
Different personality.
Yes, that's
know,
all.
Right. We get it.
We all interpret things differently. Yeah.
But that's how we nailed it. That's what happened. You think you're at a level of like comfort that you're not quite at yet, and some people take that stuff too seriously, in fact. So whatever. It is.
We not cool like that, homie.
Yeah, he's not. Yeah, he wasn't. That's what's just, you know what else is not cool? Watching
good segue.
Yeah. Watching Anthony Richardson play quarterback, Chris. I mean, it is what it is at this point. At some point there is a lack of fire coming from that position that's unacceptable, man. And I'm not asking you to pile on to that end, but just to this point, Anthony Richardson's value as a football player and as a quarterback is severely limited by his desire to not run the football, take a hit, and be a football player.
Yeah, I don't know if it's exactly the desire not to get hit or whatever, but there. When you're a great player, sometimes you got to be selfish. You know, I like the idea of guys that are the best players on their team deciding that the fate of their team is going to be in their hands and not allowing me. You know, I'd rather him be selfish and make a read that's incorrect and keep the ball than to give it when there's an opportunity for him to make a play. And I think, you know, I don't know how much of this is true or not, but I've heard that there are a lot of those runs that do have the option, and there are a lot of them that don't allow him to have the option to make that read, and he's just carrying out a fake. I don't know, but I watched the tape on Monday, and there are many, many alleys for him to pull and pick up at least 10 yards,
right,
if not more, with his athleticism. When you're the best athlete on the field, man, he has to have the ball in his hands more, and he has to be a little bit more selfish for this team.
Yeah, it was very odd in the respect, Chris, that Chris Doering, our guest from the SEC Network, he threw for 400 yards, and I was, like, not happy with the play. Like, I'm like, it should be, you know.
It was meaningless. The 400 yards was meaningless.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'll say this, I didn't love the game plan.
Right.
I thought that when you're as successful running the football as Florida's been all year long, if you've developed that is the personality of your football team, you got to get off the bus and do what you do, especially against what would be an overmatched Vanderbilt team. Now, Vanderbilt hung in there. They kind of owned the line of scrimmage a lot of the game, which was surprising, but I think
shocking.
Yeah, I mean, with the lack of depth that they have, at least continue to pound it. Now, with that being said, in the first quarter alone, when I went back and watched the tape, like, you're talking about probably three or four drops by receivers, easy plays right in their hands that makes a totally different dynamic if you catch the ball and move the chain. So I do see what they were trying to do, but I would rather fault doing what you've done that's made you be successful the majority of the year, especially on this little run they've been on. With it, the way they've run the football, continue to do what you're doing. I almost feel like sometimes they want to tie a hand behind their back to see how well they can do doing something maybe that they don't do as well as running the football.
I think that Anthony Richardson is getting bad mentorship into being an NFL prospect too, Chris, right? This is not 1994. You don't have to be 6'6", take a 7-step drop, and go to your third option.
Quarterbacks run.
You look at Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. Look, if Anthony Richardson is going to be his max in the NFL, he's got to play like Josh Allen, not Aaron Rodgers. And somebody needs to be telling. I think NFL scouts.
I think they're telling him.
NFL scouts would be more impressed if this Saturday Anthony Richardson ran for 170 yards and led his team to a victory, if he only threw for 112, than if he does what he did last Saturday at Vanderbilt.
I agree with you. I agree with you for a couple of different reasons. One, the leadership that provides. Two, the impact on a game that you can have. And three, understanding your highest and best usage. I mean, this is not a guy that's going to stand in the pocket and throw for, you know, 350 yards like those old school quarterbacks you were kind of talking about. He is better on the edge. He's better putting pressure on the defense, both with his arm and his legs. And I'm with you. I think they cut him loose this week. I believe that he comes back and has an amazing bounce-back performance in a game that I have to believe, as a lifelong Gainesville resident, you know, he has at least, I would hope, some sort of competitive nature about wanting to go back.
Right.
And not only, you know, erase the feeling from last week, but make an impact in a game where Florida's, you know, a 10-point underdog against Florida State. It's crazy.
And as much as you alluded to this earlier, and I agree with you, as much as we talk about Anthony Richardson, the shocking thing to me about Vanderbilt was the boys up front got their ass kicked,
yep,
both on O-line and D. I mean, that was embarrassing, man. That's Vandy you're playing, for goodness sakes.
It is. And I was very critical of Kentucky the previous week, how embarrassing a loss that was.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to be critical of them, I got to be critical of Florida as well. It's embarrassing. Let's be honest. I mean, Clark Lee's doing a good job
turning
things around, but they're still, what, 2-26 in their last 28 SEC games? I mean, it's not acceptable.
And Chris, and I'm not Dejon Reynolds. One of the reasons they should have had a different game plan is the receivers were all down, and then Pierce all got hurt. And I got to ask you this question. Dejon Reynolds had a really nice game, so and a nice young man, and I'm happy for him. But, Chris, right now, at your ripe old – how old are you, Chris Doering?
49.
Could you beat Dejon Reynolds if you ran that same pattern and outrun him? Because I think you might.
I don't know about that, but it did look like the bear jumped on him.
He's pulled a sled, Chris. Yeah.
No disrespect to Dejon, who got into that end zone, man. But, wow, that was crazy. So, anyway, now you mentioned Florida State, and they're playing great football. They've rushed for over 200 yards. This does not set up well for Florida. You're going to Tallahassee under the lights. Florida State's rushed for 200-plus yards in six straight football games, so they're doing something right. Give me a scenario where Florida wins.
Yeah, I honestly believe that Florida's due for a bounce back, and maybe that's just the history of what we've seen from them this year, the peaks and valleys, how the contrast from one week to the next can be so different. But, I for whatever reason, feel like they're going to make this a competitive football game. I don't know if they can win or not, but I think if they get it into the fourth quarter, they've got a chance to pull the upset off, and I think it all starts with Anthony Richardson. I think it starts with getting back to who you are, imposing your will with that offensive line, who's been the real strength of the team this year. Defensively, you know, it felt like I think the thing that frustrated me the most were the untimely penalties, and it wasn't just the defense. The offense had some terrible penalties that brought back some big plays. But that one particular drive, you have the personal foul where you push a guy in the back about 50 yards away from the play, you get a face mask on third and 17 or what it is on a sack. Like those mistakes, some of those are due to playing young guys, which you're seeing more of on the defensive side particularly.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that this is a game that they come back and play with the kind of defensive focus we saw in the second half of Texas A&M and South Carolina the next week.
And it's important for Napier, too, now. I mean, this was the first game where we were like, you know. I mean, he needs to really get these guys, because he may not have his guys, but he's got his guys on this team, right? He's playing the guys who are responding to Billy Napier's way, so they need to go out there and put on a good show.
They need to go on for a couple reasons. One, you know, there's some bowl positioning that's on the line, and I think that's important improvement from, you know, where the last year's team went. Secondly, you know, I think a lot of it is continuing to set the groundwork, the foundation for what this program is going to be going forward. Three is just the positive momentum you need heading into the offseason, man. If you can get a win against Florida State, that makes your fan base feel really good. And four, let's not forget, we're just a couple weeks away from signing day. And there's a lot of guys that are in the mix, you know, with Florida State and Florida on their list. So I do think there is a lot of motivation for Florida, not only, you know, for the players, but for the coaches as well, and particularly Billy Napier, as you mentioned.
Chris, Dan and I have been around this rivalry even a little bit longer than you. Obviously didn't play at the University of Florida, but haven't really covered it since the late 80s. I think it's worth a reminder here as we sit in 2022 for maybe some members of the younger audience. But the college football world didn't always revolve around Alabama, Auburn, and Ohio State, Michigan on this Saturday.
Oh.
And I'm just curious, you know, is that a glory day that can ever return, that both programs could be? Now, I mean, as you're stuck in the middle of the unbelievable run of just top 10 matchups, but, you know, you long to see this game return to that prestige level. And even with some more juice maybe this year, because both teams are at least decent, we're nowhere near that yet. What needs to happen, and just how special was that from your perspective?
I'm sick about what's happened to the rivalry. The fact that, you know, in the last couple of years it's been on like the Nickelodeon network at 11:30 in the morning, and they move it to Friday night, which will be cool on Black Friday, but, you know, it speaks to not being able to carry its own weight on Saturday, as you mentioned. And there was a time where the state of Florida was the geocentric center of the universe when it became to college football, not only Florida State and Florida, but Miami in the mix as well. Got to get back to that point. It's just better when college – I hate Florida State. I don't have any respect for Florida State. My apologies to those that are listening out there. I respect Georgia. I respect LSU. I respect Tennessee. But I don't have much love for Florida State. So that's what makes this rivalry so great, is the pure disdain and hate. But it doesn't mean as much to anybody else unless you're good. And Mike Norvell's done a nice job of getting that program to the 8-3 record that they have. And you know, hopefully Billy Napier can do the same thing. But those were special games, and I don't have a ton of great memories against them, unfortunately. The one that sticks out, you know, Florida going to Tallahassee, is obviously the choke at Doak, being up 31-3 with 12 minutes to go in the game, and complete failure on not only the defensive side by not getting a stop, but offensively we could not get a first down to drain the clock at all, and Danny Cannell did a great job of leading them back to a tie, which, you know, for us feels much more like a loss.
Yeah.
Ellis Johnson after the game, he was so bad.
Yeah, he really was.
Great sound.
Same thing over and over again. Those are the good old days, the talent.
It was great. I mean, that was my fault anyway, Chris. I said something about God at halftime when it was 31-3. And
that's your fault?
Yeah.
After all these years, I'm finally being able to place the blame?
Yeah, you can blame me. I said, this is the way God intended it to be, and it was 31-3.
Hey.
I started calling FSU. I did the absolute thing you should never do as a Gator, and it's on me. I'm
premature
sorry.
Celebration.
Yeah.
Four out of five guys suffer from that. So you're not alone, my friend.
All right, my man. Appreciate it. Have a great Thanksgiving, Chris.
All right, guys.
All right, there he goes. Bye-bye. Chris Doering.
Good every week. So good player. He's great as an analyst as well.
And he cleared up the Hollywood stuff.
He did. And the Doering Report brought to you by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Cat Chat and an early edition with an extra pick of the Friday 5-Pack next on a Custom Tree Surgeons Wednesday.
Happy Thanksgiving, folks. Special Wednesday edition. Thank you, Shark Coatings. Oh, yeah, Wednesday edition, folks. What's going on, man?
Oh, just running around the RV campground.
So you spent Thanksgiving on the road, so to speak.
We're doing it on the road this year. My sister and her friends had done
it
on the road.
Is Dad coming out?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He'll come out. We got like three massive picnic tables. We got four. Actually, I'm sorry.
You're like
six,
a pilgrim.
We have six campground sites. Our group has six campground sites all around each other. We got motorhomes in the corners. We've got a center kitchen area. Yeah, we're doing it.
John Smith, who do we got?
Yeah.
Who are our guys at Thanksgiving?
Squanto.
Is Squanto one of them?
I think so.
To truly Squanto celebrate Thanksgiving, you got to go back to the roots. You got to get outside. You got to be camping. We got a tent next to the RV. I haven't spent a night in
it. If you camp correctly, it's cool. I'll never forget. I went camping one time in Florida, and it was hot as Hades. Mm-hmm. In the middle, the bugs. And I looked over, I don't remember who I was particularly camping with, Kat, and I said, God doesn't send people to hell, he sends them camping.
Oh, that's not true.
Thought. Yeah.
There's the setup. It's beautiful.
Very nice.
It's beautiful.
All right.
That's the setup of one of the
RVs.
Let me
ask, how many people are camping? Are y'all the only ones?
No. We got both my sisters.
No. Other people that's not your
like,
group.
Is it a crowded area?
Is it crowded? Is there a lot of people up there?
Oh, yeah, it's packed.
Wow.
It's packed.
People like to go do that.
Thanksgiving week, man. Get out there. Get outside. Now,
How are you going to cook the turkey? Are you going to fry it? Yeah. What are you going to do?
So we got a massive Blackstone grill. We got the green egg.
Okay.
So you got the green egg
Lots
turkey going on there.
Okay.
You got the fryer's going to be going.
Okay.
That sounds fun.
All of the fixings, all of the side
weather's
going to
be perfect. You're right there on the beach. That's going to be fun.
And it's been gray all week. We've been out there since
feels
Friday, so it feels
and
like
cool
fall.
Enough, but not cold.
Yeah. Went out to the ocean.
Yeah, the weather's
awesome.
Good.
It's a good time.
All right.
It's a good time. Taking it back to the roots.
Right. I've done the deep fried turkey a few times. I think I'm back to the old, don't mess with success.
You smoke it right.
Yeah.
If you smoke it right.
Or even
not like Gene Furnett.
Make it right.
No, not like Gene.
I'm not even on social media, and I'm aware of that.
You're aware of that?
Poor Eugene. Poor Eugene.
That will never.
What
die.
Happened? He like cooked it with his stuff inside and overcooked it, kind of deal.
I think Gino knows.
I saw
the
picture
bit.
One time. Eugene's it looked fine. Like He's a fine. Flat football. Is what
so
like.
Jags Ravens Sunday at the bank.
Woo!
This is you know, back to work, but it's Thanksgiving week.
Yeah, this is where we start the run. We win our final seven,
mm-hmm.
and I don't lose the bet.
Mm. This is your only hope.
Mm.
Is this a must win for
this is,
for the cat?
This is
3-8. You don't come back.
This
from.
Is my R2-D2 moment with the
wheel.
Princess Leia is firing out there in the hologram. Your only hope.
Yeah, we've had people tempt the wheel lately, and you were one of them. You sort of started.
So
it. Now I have these.
Hey, just thumbed his nose out. That wheel's nothing.
I'm gonna give you credit for. You're very good at coming up with ideas. Will you be able to do the same for yourself?
You guys got to come up.
Okay,
with the
that's
ideas.
Fine.
I
we
get
will.
To, I get sure. to yay or nay.
Okay,
you know, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys come up
that's
with the
fine.
Ideas. I'm not going to help you with.
I know.
Incredible.
But you're very good at it.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering
some,
if you,
I can come up with some terrible things.
Yeah.
We'll come up with one.
We'll definitely keep the.
It's not over yet. What are you guys talking about?
One of the
ones. That one is. The five pack is going to be. Imagine if it's a double.
Dude, the five. Oh, my God.
Five pack is tight.
Because at some point, by the way,
so close.
At some point, the cat's going to have to pick NFL games because college is coming to an end.
Well, and we also have. And part of.
I got bowl season.
We get a six pack.
So mid January.
We get a six pack. This week because of Thanksgiving, but you have to play a Thanksgiving game. You may have to go NFL tomorrow. There's only one college game.
Let me ask you.
It has to be a Thanksgiving game.
Hey, have you guys seen the hottest new gift in town, by the way?
Gift?
You haven't seen the hottest new gift holiday season?
What is it?
Come on, the ad's been running since Monday.
Oh. The
Gift-A-Floor.
The Gift-A-Floor?
Shark Coating's Gift-A-Floor.
Okay.
Literally, Santa called me, and he goes, hey,
I'm getting
a lot of requests for this.
Okay.
This is not something I do.
Okay.
You know, concrete floors isn't what
Santa
nails
do. So, in other words, you buy
do.
Someone's floor for them.
Oh.
Yeah, so you gift a floor.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Shark
good idea.
Again, his elves, a lot of things they can do. We don't want them running grinders.
No.
But, so fair Santa enough. Said, hey, shark coatings, I'm
that
getting a lot of requests.
Might get chewed up in
some say
thing.
His elves are on grinder, but that's another story.
Yeah, no, boy.
Little dude, Mike.
I'm getting a lot of requests for these shark coating floors.
You're an angry elf.
So you can buy a shark coatings floor, and if you want to surprise your spouse or whatever, or you want to surprise the parents, kids out there, the big gift. You guys ever do the big gift at the end of the holiday?
Oh, you've heard my story. I now expect the big gift from my
we
children.
We are no,
who
but
are
to
grown.
That end, this is for the first. And we've gotten in the past through our parents, our in-laws, but our in-laws this year are having some stuff at our house painted that we need painted.
Okay,
that's the gift. So that's a similar thing. Probably be about the same price tag as what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So if you're looking to do that big gift for
big
somebody,
gift.
You schedule the estimate. We come out there. We can do it in secret. The other person doesn't have to be there. You book. You set it all up. Sign it up. You sign up the thing, and we give you a framed floor sample. Has our logo and everything on it.
As
that
the
you
gift.
Get to wrap.
Yes.
And they get to actually have something they can open because we tried this surprise in the past where we literally had a crew hiding around the corner.
Yeah.
The lady wanted to surprise her husband for her birthday.
Yeah.
He leaves.
Yeah. You go
she
in.
She goes. She calls him. She goes. Okay, come on. They came in, they did the garage in one day.
Yeah.
And then he comes home and it's done. We can't do that on Christmas night.
No.
So we got to be able to give you this framed sample.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And there you go. You get the big gift at the end.
You know, marketing genius is what that is, Kat.
I think so.
Yeah. Marketing genius. Well done by you. Okay, so let's do this. Let's take a break, and then we'll spend some time with the picks, and we'll update everybody because it's getting tight. It's getting dicey.
Oh, it's real tight. Dan with 2-4-1 weeks in a row.
Okay. We got to keep that rolling. You mushed me last week, and I was able to fight that off, so maybe I can keep going now.
I tried.
We shall see. But I think you are +8?
Yes, I'm now at +8.
Jeff is 5,
plus
and I'm 3.
+3, yeah, it's real tight.
So everybody's making money.
Just to give you guys, before we go into that break.
It's not bad to be over 500, really.
You're looking at games. Jeff's looking at games right now as we talk.
I'm loaded in. I got my 10-12 to choose from.
Sadly, you cannot pick the Virginia Tech game. The game is canceled.
Yeah, it was.
And the right decision.
I leave that to the programs and what they decide.
They know best. Obviously, both teams are 3-win teams. Nobody's going to a bowl.
It's just an awful
It was, all the way around. There's
it's not
no,
like it's not even like you're. It's something. This is within your own team and family. I mean, it's not even like the city had an incident.
No.
Or
these are your boys. Yeah, these are your brothers.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Tough one for the seniors there and stuff. But tough one for all the families. I guess all the funerals and stuff are starting. But
they had a wonderful service last weekend. Like 10,000 people came to the Virginia Coliseum. I don't know what it's called.
I just. I, rivalries, obviously, yeah. You know, UVA, Virginia Tech, yeah. That doesn't matter. But, like, no. I thought this was going to be one of those moments, because there's been moments over the years, mm-hmm. Virginia Tech shooting and stuff, where UVA came. I mean, I just thought it would have been a really cool moment that get the people together, community together, 60,000 people together, you know, kind of consoling together, a little bit of cathartic, you know. I don't know.
For a few minutes, you can kind of forget it.
Yeah, but I totally understand.
Those kids, I mean, again, like I said, those are their, I mean, within the family. So anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get the Friday five-pack cooked up right here on a pre-Thanksgiving show of The Drill. Oh, take the baseline for a walk. Keep the cymbals splashy.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so good week last week. Everybody was positive, right? You guys were both 3-2. Is that correct?
You betcha.
I threw up a little 4-1-er.
Again.
So back-to-back, I got to keep that rolling. If I can do that again, if I go 5-1 this week, I can be in the hunt. I'm trailing Jeff by 2.
It's basically 1.
And Cat.
Divided by 2. Right? You're 2.5 behind Cat. I'm 1.5 behind Cat. So we're all just.
Plus
1
8.
Week of. In other words, one guy goes 1-4 one week, he's going to last.
Yeah.
If anyone's
3-2. A lot of football left.
Do I get to start this week?
Well, I don't care.
You don't care?
I mean, 2-4-1 weeks in a row. Go for it.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Knock yourself out.
Thank you. Well, then I'm going to go to get my Thanksgiving Day special in.
Okay. This is the trick to going first.
Yeah.
But there's
a couple there.
I can survive. I got 3 in Thanksgiving. I can go.
All right.
Either way.
All right.
Which one is yours?
Well, I'm going to take the home team. Listen, I'm a little wary because Buffalo had been playing great, and they're due to play a good game. But 9.5 points for Detroit at home. Detroit's won 3 in a row. I'm going to ride with the
Big day in Detroit.
I think it's not. Let me just double check the line here. 9.5. Yep.
Okay. Yep. 9.5. I'll take all 9.5 points gladly. And hope all that. Right. And Detroit can score. So
all right, go. What do you want? Rock paper scissors. Here?
I've been to the Thanksgiving game in Detroit.
Okay, listen, we go 1-2-3, and then it's the one.
Okay, here we go.
1-2-3. You got me.
Oh, Cat wins.
Folks out there,
the rock
again with odds. Paper covered the rock again with odds, folks. If you're ever in paper rock scissors, an overwhelming majority of people throw rock the first time. Always throw paper the first time. You will win a 72% clip on the first time.
The only reason I did it, that's all great. That may be true. I don't know if I would have thrown rock. I was going to throw scissor, and I kind of showed you scissor as we went to win, and I was afraid that,
Anyway.
But then I should have played paper myself, for that matter.
Here we go. So I'm going to make my pick. I'm going to do my Thanksgiving Day pick.
Thanksgiving Day special.
And look, I don't know what happened a couple weeks ago that suddenly Minnesota became this world beater that's going to the Super Bowl.
Right.
How did they suddenly become this team that
keep winning those close ones?
That deserves a 3-point, a 2.5-point favorite over the New England Patriots. I think New England Patriots go into Minnesota. I know it's a road dog, but I'm taking the Patriots to cover.
Ooh, look at you.
2.5 points on the road at Minnesota.
This worked out perfect.
Wonderful. You get your Thanksgiving Day pick.
My Thanksgiving Day game wasn't
either of them.
It wasn't either one of those.
Wonderful. And then you get another pick coming back.
I've covered these situations. I can remember being at the Sugar Bowl with Butch Davis when they were there to play Florida. Mm-hmm. And Butch Davis telling us on Wednesday that he's not going anywhere and his team is behind him. And Miami went out and beat a really good Florida team that night.
Okay.
You know, at some point, I don't know how much we're factoring in Lane Kiffin's job status, but Ole Miss at home, only given 2 to Mississippi State?
Egg Bowl.
I think Ole Miss is due. I think if Lane Kiffin is the type that if he is going to go out, he's going to want to go out with a bang.
Okay.
He's going to want to ease that transition out. I think Ole Miss wins that game. And I know they didn't play well last week at Arkansas, but that's been the SEC this week. I mean, explain South Carolina. They lose 38-6 at Florida, and they scored 9 touchdowns on Tennessee. So
I like it.
I'll take Ole Miss minus 2.
Wonderful. You get another one, Jeff.
I do. Yes, I do. Let me see what I want to go here. Which of these glorious games? I liked that Detroit plus 9.5. That's nice. All right, I'll do this. I'm not going to jack around. This fits all the parameters to me.
Yeah.
I mean, our football team has been every game. You're going to give me 4 at home?
Look at that, Jeff.
I get that little extra. I'm going to go Jags plus 4.
I have that one on here.
Cat appreciates that.
I had that one on here.
Yeah, but you appreciate that because that'll get you rolling.
No, I think they lose by 2.
Oh.
No, I'm kidding. I hope they win, but I really – I think that fits all the parameters of what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, this one, fellas, I'm going to have some people in attendance at this game.
Oh,
the Civil,
Purdue.
The Civil War.
Oh, Oregon State.
Oregon State.
Oh.
These Beavers, folks.
Yeah.
These Beavers somehow at home in Corvallis, Snake Pit of Corvallis, Reser Stadium.
Yes.
Somehow they think the Ducks are going to be favored. In Reser, no chance. 3 points. Give me Oregon State covering 3 points at home in the Civil War.
Wow.
Oregon State's 21 in the country. Oregon's 9. Oregon State is going to finish above Oregon in the final poll. So give me Oregon State to win this outright. Money line. Oregon State is going to pound Oregon.
Wow, they're
going to
pound them, he says. Oh, man. All right, let me just – I got to verify this the most up-to-date and accurate point spreads. By the way, you know, stuff can change between now and then. You're getting plus three. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Yeah.
OSU. Oregon State. Plus three.
Is it me?
Yeah, for two.
Oh, I got two.
Yeah.
There's a lot I like.
A lot of develop.
A lot I like. I'm going to go, give you the Tony Boselli special.
Okay.
I got 5.5. I got a lay. I think SC's going to beat Notre Dame by a touchdown. So I'm going to go with USC.
Notre Dame scares me because they've played their best games against the good competition, and they folded against the lesser. Mm-hmm. But
then I'm going to go.
That's a good number, by the way. They didn't.
And then I'm going to go with another USC. I'm going to go with South Carolina.
What are they getting? 14.5
against Clemson in a rivalry game. I don't know. I just play good football, see if they can keep it going, stay within a couple tutties.
All right.
You know, 42-30. That'd be fine. I'll take that.
All right. Back to me?
Yes, sir.
Let's do this. Let's, the Florida State game. That Florida line, 9.5 points. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to stay in the state. Heading a little further south, going down to Miami.
Miami!
Joe U. You're listening out there. Your Canes, I think they're getting this one to go bowl eligible.
Yeah.
This will get them to 6-6.
Yes.
I think they're trying to make a statement as they finish the season
statement
here.
Game.
Pittsburgh's coming down, and Pittsburgh is favored by 7 points
at
Hard Rock Stadium. No chance. Miami, Florida covers 7 points.
6.5 you get.
6.5? Oh, dang it. That means everybody's on that line.
You still want that?
I do. Give me it. Give me 6.5. Miami covers.
Okay. Jeffrey?
6.5. Yeah, I'm just updating this. I'm settled on the game. I'm just going to double-check the line here before I throw it in there. I'm shocked that Cat didn't grab this one, and I'm not doing it because of his formula necessarily, but I don't understand this line a bit, okay? One team is coming off a rivalry win, and the other's coming off a rivalry loss, and the one coming off the rivalry loss has to get on the plane and fly, 5 hours north.
All right.
Do we have a reason why Cal is getting 10.5 at home against UCLA? 10.5?
Yeah.
I mean,
is that the number?
Does the home dog not get a bone here?
Mm.
Cal at home plus 10.5. That's the pick, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. I think you have another one.
Actually, it's down to 10, so maybe they're.
Uh-huh.
I'll pull the trigger.
Okay.
He referenced the game. I don't think that Florida is anything special. I think they were at their worst last week. At 9.5 points seems like too many to me. I'm gonna take the Gators plus 9.5.
Yeah, I would. I have it down, but I'm just not going to do it. But I disagree. I would have taken FSU and lay the 9.5.
I
think they're going
to
run right through us. Like, we can't stop the run.
I think that's a fan mush right there. He's trying to
No. Because what would happen there if I did it? Is Florida would still lose, but they lose by, seven or eight.
Well, that's my hope.
Yeah.
Right? My hope is that Anthony Richardson plays with, look.
We just lost to Vandy.
Yeah, I get it. We also lost to Tennessee by 5.
Yeah.
We also beat South Carolina, who killed 38. It's just a matter. Florida has had its moments. They have.
I think we're almost reaching, like you say. Well, we almost beat Tennessee.
No, it's not almost. I'm talking about adding a consistency to what the ceiling is.
I hear you.
The first half against Utah. The third quarter against Georgia.
I hope you're right.
Again, these are piddly little losers' excuses for coming up with the reasons.
Yeah.
You guys keep going.
Go ahead,
I'm
Kat,
still trying
you're
to decide.
No, you're up. Oh, you got to
get it. Dang it. All right, fine. I'm going to go with another big line here. I like the 10 points. the 10-point theme there that everybody's talking about. Texas A&M at home, bunch of cowbells. Jimbo needs this.
I like that.
He needs this so bad, or like literally the pitchforks and the torches and all that stuff. Like, he needs this bad. I think LSU comes in a little overconfident. Texas A&M covers 10 points. LSU might still win, but 10 points?
That's a lot of points.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Give me Texas A&M covering 10.
No, I had that one down, so.
I'll give you. Is it me?
Yeah, you get two.
I get two? How many have I got so far? Three?
Three, yeah. You have to wait. You get the last pick because it's a six-pack this week.
Okay, thank you. I've got I got Team Tough. Team Tough on Sunday. Point and a half favorite.
Knew I should have taken them there.
The Tetons?
Yeah.
Over the Bengals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just.
I'm running out of games here real quick.
Yeah, I like Tennessee in that one.
That. That's, I'd like that one a lot.
Yeah.
That was dumb.
Team Tough just.
Yeah.
You know, and there's revenge factor as well. They knocked them out of the playoffs last year.
That to me is the best game in the league. Maybe not. Maybe the Jags.
And then I'm going to go against the Cat.
Uh-oh.
Not head-to-head, but against the Cats.
Titans are getting two, by the way.
Formula success.
My math.
Titans are plus two,
it's
by
math.
The way. Not favorite. You're a dog. Plus two at home, the Titans.
Titans are plus two?
Yes. Gorgeous.
Did it move overnight?
I don't know.
If it moved overnight that much, look out. Somebody's
I don't think it did.
Playing.
I think Dan just read it
did
wrong.
Did I read it
he
wrong?
Just assumed that they were a favorite because I've been on.
Well, I even love that even
I was
better.
On covers. Yeah,
thank
I do too.
All right. I'm going to play an over-under.
No, it opened plus. Yeah,
I must have read it wrong.
It's okay. Where it opened.
Shocks me, though. I would have. Tennessee is a favorite at home. I'm going to play an over-under. I think it's a Friday degenerate special for you guys, so Black Friday.
Actually, we need a Wednesday degenerate special, but anyway.
Yeah. That's fair. We got a Thursday. I'm going to go Friday, so I'm going to be sitting pretty or crying. But I'm going to play the under in the Iowa-Nebraska game.
Ooh.
It's 38.5 points. Iowa's missing their best receiver. The tight end is out. If Iowa wins, believe it or not, they're in the Big Ten championship game where they will then get fricasseed by the winner of the Ohio State Michigan.
Didn't they lose last year 55-7?
Oh, they're going to do it again.
Michigan?
Now,
Michigan beat Ohio State.
Yes. Petrus is playing a little bit better, but 38.5 is a whole lot of points. I like
you get 38. So
38?
The half. That's it. Currently at 38.
All right. Thank you, Fred. Damn you.
My turn?
Can I have the half? Can I buy the half? No,
folks, we're going to head out to Snapdragon Stadium where I've had some success this year.
Oh, Snapdragon.
Snapdragon Stadium. Everyone knows it. Everyone knows it. San Diego State University. The Air Force Academy Falcons are coming in town.
You're shaking your head like you got that one, too.
I don't think people have learned. I don't think they've learned about Snapdragon Stadium and the San Diego State.
Did San Diego State win hoops last night against Arizona?
No.
No? Okay.
That doesn't matter for this pick.
It does matter.
They're a 1.5-point dog with the Air Force Academy coming to town. I'm taking San Diego State.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
I'm hoping that on Saturday afternoon you put some, like, curse you.
The only time I was
San Diego State.
I misread San Jose State and didn't realize they were a beast and took out my San Diego State. No, I just love San Diego, so give me San Diego State to win outright. That's basically a pick. I'm 1.5, whatever.
I'm just trying to let me just get it for sure.
We've erased his board. He's looking for new picks.
I'm actually looking for the same. I have one pick left, but I didn't love. I'm down to my last couple of picks in my confidence meter, but I guess I should go with them and not go look. I'm
off
not going to go in search of another one. But what I'm looking for is the San Diego State game just to confirm the line.
Mm-hmm.
Plus two. Is that what you said?
I said 1.5.
Yeah,
I got
you get
two.
Aren't you glad I did that?
Oh, boy.
I'd have two picks left to close this out.
All right.
I believe in the Atlanta Falcons getting 4 points at Washington. I do. Washington is like the king of the 3-point win. Atlanta could very well lose the game, and I think they're proving week in and week out that they're a tough out. And except for that Carolina game, they have played pretty good football all year.
You have gone a lot of fan picks this week.
Yeah, they're not
Atlanta,
really. Yeah,
Florida,
I guess. Yeah.
Jags.
I guess
I like it.
Yeah, maybe. All right, here's one that I'm. This isn't a fan pick. This could get ugly. This could be a mistake. This was a home game. I'd really like it.
Okay.
But, man, there seems to be at least a little bit of energy around Cadillac up at Auburn. And 22.5 at Alabama is a lot of points, man. Mm-hmm. Bama hasn't been beating the tar out of everyone like they have in the past. Auburn, the one thing that they do, they can play a little defense.
Okay.
And so I just think 22.5 is too much in this rivalry game. I'll take Auburn plus 22.5 big points.
Cat?
I got to say, it's different picking sitting in here because I'm trying to keep – this is like playing poker. I'm keeping a poker face. Every time you guys start one of your picks, I'm like looking at my board going, just keep a straight face. Just don't let them know if you like this
what
pick.
What does that mean?
Don't
like
let them
Alabama?
Know if you like this pick or mean? Not. Uh-huh. Don't let them – all right. Look, these nerds cost me last week.
Nerds.
So I'm gonna give them one more chance.
So what do we got?
I'm going to give the tree one more chance.
Okay.
The tree, those nerds.
And that's not the Mexican soccer team, by the way. It's a different
me.
Tree.
They screwed me last week El against tree. Cal Bears. Mm-hmm. Stanford's got BYU coming to town. 6.5 points is what I had it at last night when I was looking. Or actually, this morning, a few hours ago.
6.5 is correct.
6.5, Stanford covering at home, the tree.
Yeah, I don't understand. I like that one, too. I don't understand that spread. BYU has not been good this year.
I mean, Stanford's 3-8. Yeah. Those nerds are worried about finals. I don't know if they're going to do well, but I'm covering.
Are you using nerds as, like, negative reinforcement? Does someone inspire them?
Can we put David Shaw in the hot seat a little bit?
Yeah.
I don't know. Right. I never applied there. They wouldn't even let me apply there. Like, they were like, can I get
this
an application?
This is a real heavyweight, like, no. Kat. This one, you deserve anything to happen because you got 6-5. Let me write it down.
Is that his last one?
BYU 6-5, Stanford 3-8. But look at against the spread. 6.5
against
points.
The spread, BYU 3-8, Stanford 2-9. This is a pillow fight.
This is going to be great.
this is a pillow fight.
Somebody what,
Stanford plus 6.5.
Yes. How many picks do I have left, Jeffrey?
Just one.
I still have
I only
one
have
left.
One.
No. There's six picks this week.
And you already have six.
I only have five.
No, you don't. You have the Patriots. You have Oregon State. You have the U. You have Texas A&M. You have San Diego State. You have Stanford.
You're done, friend.
All right, that was
you're
my
done.
Last pick.
Yeah, I'm in. You're just the last pick.
This is it.
Mr. Irrelevant.
Thank you. There's three games I like. Can okay. I get your guys' opinion?
All right. No. After you pick them.
I like Tennessee.
Poker face.
I like Tennessee getting 14 against Vandy. Giving 14. I like the Dolphins, 13.5 against Houston. And I love Middle Tennessee State, 19.5 over FIU. What do you guys think?
I'm doing the look you do when you're sitting there and you're supposed to be listening to your wife while she talks.
I'm just watching TV.
And you're
Did
watching
Dan say
TV.
Something?
Did Dan
Germany has scored.
Germany nice. Scored.
Yeah.
Germany's up 2-0.
It's 1-0.
What were you talking about?
Those are highlights.
Is it 7-0?
Oh, those are highlights?
Yeah, Germany's up 2-0.
Clock is running. It's 1-0. The one goal that you saw.
I saw Germany score a goal. Make it 2-0. They put
two up.
Oh,
this is a replay. That's a replay.
I got you.
Yeah, so, Dan, you had a pick?
Yeah, oh, okay. I'm going to go with
Dynamite Radio.
I don't feel a lot of confidence surging through this pick. I mean,
no.
A lot of hemming and hawing.
Middle Tennessee. Yeah, FAU killed FIU. I like Middle Tennessee. All they right. beat Miami. They're going to go down to Miami and win another big one.
Let me see what that number. What did you have at that number?
19.5.
Minus 19.5?
Yeah.
Man, at FIU?
Yep.
Back to the college days with the big lines. And
yeah, I know. Got me in trouble, didn't it?
Yeah, 19.5.
Shaking your head.
All right, well, we could have some movement this week.
It's a big week.
I mean, at this point.
Good luck, boys.
You're trying anything to not have a negative week. As long as you have positive weeks, you're probably going to be okay because you can't do much better than 3-2. It's either 4-1 or 5-0. You minimize what you can lose. That first week you go 1-4, buddy, there's a big swing.
It used to be a phrase you could say around here. Now it's not allowed, but just get better. That's all. I just try and get better each week.
Yeah.
Just get better.
Yeah.
You know, remember that year you couldn't say get better? Get better was bad. Now get better is the
better.
Whole thing. Just
all
get
right,
better.
Well,
get
a cat,
out of here.
Dan got better.
Cat plus thanks. 8 on the year. I'm plus 5 on the year. Dan is up to plus 3 on the year in rally, and that's the Thanksgiving six-pack. We'll get that posted for you online and use at your own. All right, so the U.S. World Cup team will not play again until Friday. We did have some hijinks yesterday. We talked about Argentina, one of the top seeds, losing, but Mexico ended up tying Dan's homeland, Poland, yesterday.
Yeah, my and boy so, Lewandowski missed a penalty kick.
Yeah, so what that means is...
By the way, I was wrong. Germany is up 1-0 on Japan.
Yeah, that's what I thought. They took one of the goals away. If Mexico beats Argentina, Argentina's out.
Yes.
I mean, we're already to that far along. So, man, big-time Jeopardy put on one of the tournament's top
You said
seeds.
France looks really good.
Yeah, they look
Brazil
good.
Goes today. No, Thursday.
Tomorrow, yeah.
Tomorrow.
Portugal will go tomorrow. And
Portugal.
That's because of
Portugal.
Ronaldo,
yes.
Who's still a lot of people's favorites. But, yeah, I kept the soccer on a lot yesterday. But you know what I had on last night, Dan Hicken? What I'm about to say here, well, it's like a Daily's double take. You're going, what? What did you just say?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
I was bouncing around and, you know, between some college hoops and, you know, eating minimal birds food.
Mm-hmm.
And
grazing.
Yeah. Not grazing, no. Just being thrown some popcorn and bird seed here or there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
No, I click it on the beginning. I said, oh, this is an intriguing game. I watched it to turn it on, to be honest with you, to see Ben Simmons pee his pants. He has to go back to Philly. The intrigue for me was turning on the game to watch Ben Simmons, you know, get booed and harassed and wet himself and, you know, and just, you know, wither, right? And I turned it on, and after watching about 15 minutes, what I actually said was, damn, Ben Simmons is balling.
Yeah.
He's balling. E.T., you did the same thing last night. He was confident.
Mm-hmm.
And by proxy, and look, if there's any team where it can go into disarray, I'm going to reverse course for the second time on this storyline. I no longer think the Nets are cooked. I think we're writing them off too early from this standpoint. Now, this could be a bigger riff with them than anyone.
Yeah.
Other than the Lakers, who are so injury prone.
Mm-hmm.
But with Durant and Kyrie, Simmons is perfect in doing what he did last night. No one wants you to shoot 20 times. Get your 12 points, your 10 assists, your 8 rebounds.
And play that tough defense.
3 assists and a block. 2 blocks he had. I mean, it was just outstanding.
He was diving on the court.
Because the rest of that team, if healthy, if you've got Seth Curry and the Morris brother and Claxton and that Watanabe cat, this is a good enough team to go deep. They could be last year's Celtics. So what I'm trying to say in the spirit of degeneration, okay, the Nets right now are buried at 17-1 to win it all.
Yeah.
And worth $100 if you got somebody going to Vegas. Throw it on the Nets and just see if it doesn't come to fruition.
I'm
going to
say this. I saw a guy, one of those NBA experts, talking about the Nets yesterday, and he had a good point.
After the game or before?
Before. And it's kind of along the lines of what you said. But the question was, and Simmons had played good night previously too. And the question was, hey, are you back on the Nets? He goes, hang on, because they're all getting giddy about the Nets. He goes, let me tell you something. This is how I feel about the Nets. He goes, the Nets need to shut up. They got about a 15-game schedule coming up here where they're going to be favored in just about every one of them except maybe Boston. All right? So the Nets need to shut up.
I don't think it's the Nets that are talking. It's the people like me talking about the Nets.
No. He's saying until, because something else is going to happen. There's going to be more drama.
But the Nets aren't
talking. Shut up and play. Yeah. That's what he's saying.
To the top.
I don't want to hear from Kyrie. Oh. I don't want to hear from KD. I don't want to hear from ownership. Just go play your 15 games, win a bunch of them, make a little bit of a move, get back up in the Eastern Conference Elite, and then we'll start talking about the Nets again.
That's fair.
And I think that's fair, considering all that they've been through for 4 years while we've been waiting, or 3 years, or however long it's been with
the Brooklyn
Nets.
I think the team has constructed that. And now, granted, this is a cold time to make the take. The Sixers beat them last night without Embiid, Harden, and Maxey.
Right.
So I'm not – last night I didn't have anything to do with it. I'm just telling you, these guys are just really starting to play together.
That's
for the
what
first
he
time.
Said.
And if Ben
Joe
Simmons,
Harris is starting to look like Joe Harris
and
again.
And Ben Simmons is starting to look like at least what he was, which was like a top 15 player as far as –
But this is the fourth year for KD.
100%.
Or third year for KD in Brooklyn,
I get all that. I'm not – I'm saying Thoma is an outlier. I'm not saying I think they're going to win it all.
I think
of all the value bets you could throw on someone about this time of the year,
that
might be one that
until
would.
Until Kyrie has the meltdown and decides
I spent $100 on worse.
Fair. Yeah, right.
Yeah, 100%.
Until Kyrie needs the weekend off for the birthday party or whatever it may be. So let's go to the Fair phone lines. He's a legend. He's licking his wounds.
Probably going to fry turkey today. He tried to fry turkey for us, and they wouldn't let us way back in the day.
Yeah.
Excited.
What's happening, boys?
What's up, friend?
What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I don't understand how they had a little cook-off yesterday at the station or some joke of a contest, and we couldn't fry a turkey out front.
That wasn't the turkey. This group would have let you fry the turkey. That was way back with Bernie Daigle and the Vampire Sundays.
Yeah, over off of Phillips Highway.
Yeah.
We could have fed the prostitutes over there. That would have been... That would have been, fellowship.
That's not very family-friendly holiday chat as you're giving us here on Wednesday.
I just want to call and say happy Thanksgiving to you and the Googans, especially all those Googans that were sending bad messages to the text line after I told them all after the first weekend that Jordan Travis was a much better quarterback than Anthony Richardson.
And
Friday you're going to find that out, and I hope and pray that Osceola drives that spear deep
into that gator belly
mm-hmm.
by about 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
So there's your Thanksgiving.
Maybe next year you can hold South Carolina to 8 touchdowns.
Right?
Get them out of here.
We don't need that. We don't need that.
Come in with your crocodile tears and your bologna sausage.
What's that all about?
It's 10. That's at his heart. He can't help it. He's just
damn him.
A mean-spirited, negative person. He can shine it up and play nice for a while every now and then, but yeah. at the heart of hearts, he's
that's
just
what we got.
An aggressor is what he is.
Unfortunately. By the way, our 1-1.
I hate the Miami pick by Cat, by the way. I could see Miami losing 48-0.
Our 1-1 financial poll question of the day. Assuming Georgia, the Big Ten champ, and TCU get in, who has the best shot at joining the Final Four? We talked about this a little bit earlier. We have 250 votes. Just a few minutes left at Dan Hicken if you'd like to vote. But it's the Ohio State-Michigan loser is an option. USC is an option. LSU is an option. And then I've thrown in the big other because I didn't want to just go Alabama.
Well, I think Alabama is the best option of all of those options. If just a couple – if TCU – now you said TCU wins. But
I said assuming TCU, Big Ten champ, and Georgia are in.
Okay.
Who's the fourth?
Yeah, it's USC. It depends on what USC does. It's hard to know without USC.
USC is the big favorite.
USC wins if they win the conference, 100%. Yeah. In fact, the way it's set up right now, USC will get in if they win.
Yeah.
And what a rise that would be out of just completely off the radar.
And then Lincoln Riley, who has not done well in the Final Four, would
that's correct
draw Georgia or Ohio State.
And we'll lose to him again.
Yeah.
Like he has many times in the past.
We talked a little bit about Caleb Williams, how good he's been. He's a guy worth watching.
He's coming hard in the Heisman, yeah. And coming fast.
I would say him or C.J. Stroud are the two now.
Stroud's numbers haven't been – I've been tracking this these last few weeks. He's been kind of pedestrian. I haven't watched him. I don't know what it looks like with the eye test. But.
Yeah. But so those are your two heavy
Speaking
faves.
Of 10, I mean, we should have said, what a blown opportunity. By this is an all-time choke, Dan.
Yeah.
They didn't get enough credit for what it was. You lost to a team that got beat 38-6 to a bad team the week before, mm-hmm. and you got hammered. I mean, I just feel for my real Tennessee friends, like my buddy in, you know, in San Antonio.
Right.
I feel for him. I mean, you had it. Easy to get. It'll be easier moving forward. If you saw the 12-team bracket, what it would look like, man, it's just fantastic. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
There are some great World Cup videos going around that my son was showing me yesterday. I don't know if you've seen these. Of the fans over in Qatar.
Okay.
So these two English dudes, I mean English, and heavy-duty, thick accents.
Yeah.
Are in search of beer.
Okay.
All right? And it's like the hangover. They end up at like one of these like Shah's houses.
I did see.
And these two blokes want some beer. And the next thing I know, this guy's petting the dude's pet lion.
Yeah.
And he's got a little.
Hanging out inside.
It's a little lion. It's not castle. A big like Tyson, Mike Tyson lion.
That was a tiger.
It's a little cub or whatever. And he's petting it and it's growling and he's laughing and he's drunk. And they're playing music in the car. Turn it up. And they're with these, you know, these.
Locals?
Locals. Arabs? Is that, I mean, yeah, well, I guess. I mean, they got their.
Again, there's some context here. I don't think you're.
I don't want to say the wrong word here. I mean, help me. You know what I'm saying? Shah's all good. Shah's a friendly
sheiks,
word.
The prince,
I don't mean it. But they're in this gigantic.
Headgear.
Yeah. They're in this huge house, man, with all the money just dripping from the house. They end up there looking for beer, basically, and they're bopping around Qatar, and these guys let them in, and they're partying with them. And
they have beer there, or they drink some other?
Yeah, they have beer, and they finally get there happy because they got their beer. But there's all kinds. I'm just waiting for the unfortunate one to hit. Where it doesn't go so well.
Yeah, you go to you stop at the wrong sheik's house.
Yeah.
Suddenly you're in Qatari prison.
You're not welcome here. Yeah, yes. Right. Huh. And there may be right now. They may be in search of. What happened to Joey? I don't know.
UNF plays at Kentucky tonight.
Oh, they do?
In basketball, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Played at Gonzaga earlier this year.
No. They also play Houston. They had number 2, 3, and 4 of starting poll.
We got some good games today. These tournaments are winding
up. If you're at UNF, that's awesome.
Of course it is.
Right?
Yeah.
If you're a basketball player at UNF, You get to walk into the house, the Rupp Arena.
Houston's still to come. This is what they've done. They opened at Gonzaga. They lost 104-63. Then they played at Washington. They only lost by 8.
They had a good game there. They were leading at halftime, I think.
Came home and beat South Carolina State. They lost at Duquesne only by a point. UNF is probably a little sleeper to win the A-Sun. I think, in fact, I was reading some preseason college basketball stuff from all the, you know, a sleeper from each conference, an overrated team. And they were, both they and Florida would put as the sleepers in their leagues.
Our Stallions of Providence went and took care of IMG yesterday. I enjoyed that.
Nice.
A nice dub for Jimmy Martin. Shout out.
Yeah, he's pretty good at that.
Yeah. He's got a loaded team this
year.
Not
his first rodeo, is it?
No.
All right. We either have advice, New York City headlines, or trending when we return.
Maybe all three. I don't know.
It's a Custom Tree Surgeons Wednesday on the Drill.
You know, on Mail It In Wednesday, we had a situation in the break that I feel I must share.
Here we go.
I think it's only fair.
Here we go.
It's Mail It In Wednesday,
all
right?
All right, cool. Let's go.
All right. So,
tell it all Wednesday.
So, me and E sometimes play catch. And I fashion E a tremendous athlete. I mean, he was a running back at Clay High School.
Running back.
I've seen the video.
Running back.
He had some
back.
Swag. He had some speed. He had some power, ladies and gentlemen. He was a Blue Devil through and through.
Shout out, Clay High.
Shout out, Clay High. Shout out to the elementary school where you sang My Heart Will Go On.
R.M. Patterson Elementary.
Thank you very much. And so the NFL is all about tight windows. Is that correct, E? That's
absolutely
what they teach us.
Yep.
And we have a play here where E is in a room. I see him. He sees me, but there's a door between us. And there's also some equipment. So it's a tight window that E has between me and him when we're playing catch.
Sure.
And so I say, E, how should I want to throw this. I want to zip this into you. He goes, well, you decide. I go, should I go underhand or overhand? And I said, oh, I'm going overhand.
Do your thing.
And I fired a strike to E, and he dropped it. Flat out dropped it.
Hit me in my hands.
So, but E had a nice touch. He threw it back to me.
Easy.
And he says, bring it. I go, E, this is a tough situation. Now, the next time I hit the piece of equipment, and now I'm 0 for 2. I'm mad at E, but E says, let's go. One more.
Run it back.
I said, all right. So I take a drop back, and I sling it. And, I mean, it is dead in his mitts.
A dime.
It was a Danny dime.
It was.
And now I'm 0 for 3 because E dropped two of my passes. I'm 0 for 3 with 0 yards passing today, and I got to blame my guy E.
So what did you learn?
Well, I learned that I'm going to hand the ball off.
Hand the ball off.
But that's not helping my stats, E. I need stats. I'm a stat guy.
Shuffle pass.
Yeah. If you come in motion and I flip it up to you, that's a pass.
That's right.
Anyway, that just happened on Mail It In Wednesday, in case you're wondering.
I think, you know, Japan certainly is a lot better than Saudi Arabia, but they've tied Germany 1-1.
Oh.
Germany, another one of the favorites, weren't they?
Yes.
You don't know. We'll check.
I don't know.
They're a former champion. They must be a favorite. Like Italy. Oh, wait. They're not there. Let's see. Yeah, Germany is the 6th favorite going in.
What's up with Patty Beverly, man?
And Japan is way down.
He's one of your guys. He's a Laker. That ain't cool.
I'm a LeBron guy.
But LeBron
plays for the Lakers. No, it's not. And Devin Booker, he said one of the realest things ever. He said, Pat Bev, he has a thing about pushing people in the back. He needs to push somebody in the chest.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I think it is time. It's time to treat the next time you play Patrick Beverly, treat him like a player that just, you know, after a home run.
That might be a little worse than Grayson Allen.
That kid needs to be sent into the fourth row of the stands, and then somebody needs to punch him in his face. That's what he needs.
But I get why he did what he did, though.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't think he was standing over him too much.
I didn't see if he was standing over him.
It looked like he was like, I understand when you're standing over a guy and taunting him, I'll go back to the Chuck Benarek, Frank Gifford. Chuck Benarek knocked out Frank Gifford in the old NFL and stood over him. That's one thing.
It was a bit excessive if he wasn't standing over him.
He was kind of over him. I'm in the middle of those two's opinions, but the problem is, the problem is this: he never gets slapped back. You know, a man got to know what the consequences are, and this joke keeps going up. I mean, Chris Paul in the playoffs last year was worse.
I'm surprised Chris Paul didn't jump on.
I mean, somebody needs to beat that man a little bit of sense, man. You got to stop. You know, and then he runs his – remember him running his mouth in the offseason? I can't remember what it was about.
He said, LeBron's playing with me.
Yeah, stop it, dude.
Can I give a
– But, yeah, he was – but, too, I thought this one was more justified. First, it wasn't direct to the back. It was kind of to the side back. And I thought Ayton was standing over him a little too long. Move along there.
Can I give one more shout out?
Shout him out.
Social media world. Maybe if it was trending, it would be number five, E. If we were doing trending right now, this would be number five.
Number five.
Thank you. And I guess we are doing trending.
So, we're trending? He's ready to trend?
Okay. He's always ready.
All right. Brought to you by Pet Paradise. I hope that you followed the holiday trend and got everything all lined up for all your pet care providing needs.
Yeah. So this is I enjoy a good shot on Twitter, and hats off to Ryan Leaf.
Ryan Leaf. What did he do?
So some Jets fan says, really can't believe we picked Mormon Ryan Leaf about Zach Wilson. And Ryan Leaf says, yes, you can. You're the Jets. It's what you do. But it doesn't stop there. All right? So they do a little back and forth. After Leaf's response, a fan sent back an even more derogatory and profane tweet. All right?
A tough guy. By the way, Ryan Leaf would squash this guy.
So Leaf dropped the walk off to me.
Nice.
I've had a better life than Jets fans the last decade, and I spent three of those years in prison, respectfully, of course. Today, you're a winner, Ryan D.
Yeah,
Leaf.
He owns it.
Yeah.
You know, he's a story you continue to root for. That's a battle that you never completely win. You just hold at bay, and he seems to be. Ryan Leaf had a little resurgent. He was getting used in media. I haven't seen him now for a year or two.
He's more of a speaker type guy. But anyway,
I root for that guy.
I do too.
Wasn't ready for, and he admits it, just wasn't ready for everything that was coming in front of him.
But that was
number four.
Thank you. Thank you, E.
So back in 2016, a grandmother, a white woman, she sent out a text message to whom she assumed was her family. She said, are you coming to Thanksgiving dinner?
Yes.
This is grandma.
Yes.
And someone responded, grandma, send me a picture. And then the grandma sent a picture, and he saw it was a white lady. He's like, you're not grandma, but can I still get a plate, though?
Yeah, I've seen these stories before, and then they invite him over.
Seven years later.
Oh, okay,
every year, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
okay,
so this year will be their seventh year.
That's awesome.
Thanksgiving together.
This I saw another cool one. I saw a story similar.
That's so good.
I saw a story similar to that where a couple just had a baby, and she sent the picture to what she thought was a loved one. It was just a couple of Joes, and they came down and brought like a gift and flowers and stuff for the baby. Like, you sent me this.
But I love that story. I think that's been a national story.
Yeah, it has. Yeah.
And he still goes.
Yeah, he still goes. I love when people are good people, man. Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Number three.
Gentlemen, are y'all familiar with the movie The Goonies?
Oh, yes.
Hey, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the house is for sale. The iconic house in the movie The Goonies.
Oh.
For sale. Want to take a while?
I never saw The Goonies.
I don't know.
That's right in that. The Goonies must have come out, if I was guessing, somewhere between like 86 and 92.
It's kind of like a house, like kind of in the mountain area, right? Uh-huh. Like Pacific Northwest somewhere.
Astoria, Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
Yep. It's a Victorian styled house. And you can own that house for a whopping $1.65 million.
I have a.
Now, I would much rather buy that house than like when they put the house of the Amityville Horror for sale.
Oh, for sure.
Like, I don't want any interest.
No, I'm not messing with that either.
Or there were murders in this.
I don't believe in that stuff, but I'm still not messing with it.
I ain't messing with it.
I have a black hole for movies, though. Like, movies that came out between like 95.
It's a beautiful hole.
85 when I left high school and like 92 when I started. There's that whole, like, Goonies, no, never seen it. Not once. Not even, like, on the rebound. Of course, I was, like, you know, I'm 18, 19-year-old when the movie came out. Dude. Was that more of a kid's movie or no?
I wouldn't say it was a kid's movie.
No.
1985.
Is that the one that you can't get them wet, or that's the other one?
That's Gremlins.
Gremlins. What's
nothing
name?
To do with the Goonies.
Are Gremlins and Goonies the same?
No.
So the Goonies isn't about little animals.
No. The Goonies is a bunch of pack of dudes.
If you ask me, the Goonies would have been about little Furby looking little animals. That's what I would have said.
No, that's the Gremlins.
Huh.
Number two.
Maybe you ought to watch the Goonies this week.
Maybe, then, yeah. That's not what I thought.
After you watch Butter.
Would be remiss if, you know, in trending, I didn't mention the tragedy that happened in Virginia last night.
Oh, my God.
At a Walmart, if you haven't heard. Crazy man. Just went into Walmart. I want to say he was a manager. It's been reported that he shot multiple people, and up to seven people have passed. Which kind of sucks.
Number
brings
one.
To the number one thing is Thanksgiving this weekend. So Thanksgiving is normally a time when you spend with your family and your friends.
got to cherish those moments because you just never know. We live in a world that is dangerous, it's sickening at times, but it can be a beautiful place. So just, you know, enjoy your moments, enjoy your family. Tell them you love them because you never know what will happen. You can step out, get into a car accident. You go to Walmart, you go to the movies, and anything can happen. So, you know, just be good people and cherish the moments that you are with them.
And hopefully one day we get some knuckleheads up there in the figure out a way to not let these things happen so people can just live and do their thing.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what's trending. Brought to you by Pet Paradise. We'll put a wrap on this short
turn for home
when we return.
Mail it in Wednesday. It's over.
Yeah,
I may go now, by the way. Is that cool?
You mailed it yesterday about this time, it seems I remember.
Yeah. Did I mail it in yesterday?
Yeah, I sat here by myself.
I try to be a professional most of the time. No?
Wonder what might happen this break. This is the drill.
Now, the two-minute drill. Brought to you by Tire Outlet. Tire Outlet is now hiring. Visit TireOutlet.com/careers. Equal opportunity employer.
Clock is ticking.
We've got Tony's giving me a quick little soccer primer because he's a soccer aficionado, and he was telling me as Japan is fixing to upset Germany here, we got 7 minutes of stoppage time. I believe that's the correct deal, right, Tone?
The stoppage time in this tournament has been wild. Like, they got a bunch of new stuff.
Yeah.
You'll see, if you watch any kind of soccer at any time, you'll see possession for each team.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's a pretty common stat.
Okay.
So 55-60% possession.
Right.
Whatever the other way. Well, they have an in-contest stat that's being used for this tournament for the first time ever.
Oh.
So it's not just, there's three different stats even on possession, and I think the way they're doing stoppage time is much more exact than it has been in the past.
Like, if there's a stop during stoppage time, they add time to the stoppage time, I believe.
But
is that correct?
Like, we're seeing games with 7, 8, 9 minutes of stoppage
time.
That's
a lot?
It's pretty regular, yeah.
And that's more than usual?
That's a lot.
It's usually 3 or 4?
And it's this often that it's happening. It's usually, you know, 4 or 5 minutes.
Ah.
You're talking 9 minutes.
Because we had 9 minutes
time
on the, yeah.
It's 10% of the game.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
All right, so that's interesting. Anyway, Football Friday, football. What do you guys got coming up on Jaguars today?
Yeah, we'll have Johnny O in with us for the second hour of the program this morning.
Wonderful.
We'll do our breakfast bowl picks.
Oh yeah,
at 10:15.
Who lost this week
on the show? Well, we're doing a 2 week total because D-Rock can't. We're not doing the show obviously on Thursday,
right.
So we couldn't get everybody in studio at the same time.
Gotcha.
So
I got
we're going to add the scores for last week and this week, the loser of that will be buying breakfast next week.
Okay,
and it's pretty tight. Dempsey has like a 20-point lead on all of us.
Okay.
And the three of us left 26-point lead on all of us. And the other three of us are all pretty tight after last week. So we'll see what happens with that. And our question of the day today asking,
yes, sir,
what are you most thankful for as a Jaguars fan?
Oh, so much to be thankful for. So much. All right. Listen, have a great weekend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
And our work is done. Jeff, great job as always.
All right.
Jeff? All right. We'll see you Monday.
Bye, Felicia.